The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay, thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face. Oh. You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday here at Gillette Stadium, and the service tunnel's buzzing because they're getting ready for the George Strait concert.
King Andy and King George in the same building the same week.
Is that what they call him? King George?
Yeah.
Is he like the best country guy out there now?
60 number
one
hits.
Of all time, probably.
Really?
60
number one hits?
60 number one hits. Think about that.
Now, he's gonna.
He has great.
Oh,
he makes great music.
Hold
on now.
What about that?
What do you got, President Obama?
his teleprompter just broke.
Mr. Did President? He have 60 number one hits?
I don't know. I thought
Garth
Brooks was the best.
No.
You can like
Garth Brooks, and he's a better showman.
Yes.
Much better showman.
Yes.
To put on a show, Garth Brooks would be the way to go.
Okay. Yeah.
But in terms of longevity and success in music, King George.
More than Kenny Rogers?
Kenny Rogers is a piece of poop.
You're going way back.
Glenn Campbell's.
Hank Williams.
Is that a he or a she?
Huh?
It's a he. Glenn Campbell?
Glenn Campbell.
Rhinestone Cobble?
Just a name. Oh, that?
Yeah.
So George Strait's the guy?
He's the guy.
More than
Kenny
Chesney?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, again, though, Chesney is more
modern. A performer, too.
And
more
he's,
of a showman.
And
kinda.
King George, you also have to give him credit. He went from old school country to sort of new school country.
Yeah.
He kind of bridged the gap
he
of
did.
Generations.
Okay, so
he
this
did.
Is a
As
big
he got older.
Like, I'm going
that.
To the concert, but my mother and my aunt Lindy are both going, and they're, you know, in their late 60s.
Can I ask a question for the thoroughly uninformed here?
So just say for yourself.
No, that's what I'm saying.
On all topics.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm back, baby!
There he goes.
Big head's back.
You're supposed to rest and be comfortable and
rest.
And as predicted, you know,
you
4 minutes
back.
Into the show, and I opened my mouth once and was already stepped on by the big head. Anyway,
A-hole.
I don't know anything about country music. You guys know I'm not a country music fan, but can you explain to me the bridging the gap between the old school country and the what is that?
Well, he has
what is the difference?
They use electricity.
Well, is that what?
No, but
like
the
regular
modern,
guitar, like acoustic
know.
Guitar.
No, know. But the more modern, upbeat, borderline pop.
Yeah, like think of like the country. Names. Some of the names that Fred mentioned. You think of like really old school honky tonk, real.
Like he's got twang, he's got,
not, but he's got,
but then he's no, but, got like the poppy modern good times and kind of upbeat.
I'm assuming you're talking about, you know, just songs, old songs and new songs. But what would constitute like? I think you're talking about a different kind of music.
Well, but country used to be more,
like the Grand Old Opry,
less rocky,
right.
More
Dolly Parton,
more down. Yes, Dolly Parton,
and more, you know, storytelling and
Patsy Cline.
What are those kind of like ballads and
yeah.
See, no, I like Patsy Cline.
Do you? Wow.
He's such a tool.
Good stuff.
Crazy.
So anyway, so that's happening here. As well as the OTAs, they're in progress. Mm-hmm. And tomorrow we'll actually have access.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's exciting.
Yeah.
Very.
First time we get to see Revis Island.
Yep. Guys are running around without numbers, uniform. Though, so you're going to have to look close.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The guy that no one's throwing to is Revis.
I have some faith I could pick him out.
Yeah.
Some.
Probably tell the difference between Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And Ryan Mallett, I'll right. be it. Yeah. Quarterbacks, I feel pretty good. Top of the depth chart receivers, I feel pretty good about.
Yeah.
You know, you start to get a little lower on the roster, and don't ask me.
Yep. All right. So,
well, the biggest thing is, like, half the stars aren't going to be out there. I mean, we had obviously Gronk saying he'll be working on the side, but, you know, Wilfork, Mayo, Kelly, you know, Kyle Arrington.
Maybe we'll see Mayo.
Who knows? Maybe, but we'll might not. Mayo.
Yeah.
If not, I don't know. Then don't ask me to name all three linebackers.
Right. But it'll just be good to get back out there and hear the whistles and watch the guys running around. It means nothing to us, really. There's no evaluations to be made. But, you know, if we can discern who's out there, who's running with who. And
right, because this, as we've been told in years past, this is a, what was it?
A teaching camp, not an evaluation camp.
Get things in place so that you can do more when the mini camp starts, and then you can do more when the training camp starts.
But we have seen over the years that if a guy sticks out for, like, where he is, keep an eye on
him. It means something.
It means something.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, if some... undrafted you know, Asa Watson is taking all these reps. Put that in the back of your bonnet, and that might mean something.
I generally look at defensive linemen for that. Like, you get a Joe Villano who all of a sudden, every time they do something, Corey Grissom is with this group.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you kind of think, out of the undrafted free agents, this guy is clearly at the top. And now, when you sort of extrapolate, okay, Wilfork is out and Kelly's out, where might
Armstead's
he fall?
Armstead's out. Easley's out.
You know, so, no, I'm just saying.
So he's definitely back to last in the top again. Six defensive line.
Yeah, I was talking about more in the past. I mean, no, what we see on Friday, I don't know what we're going to see tomorrow. But a lot of times, Andy's right. You get to see a guy, and then you don't really know much about him, and you just say, okay, well, maybe he's part of the plan for that position.
And then, by the way, a year later, he'll disappear and be gone forever.
Well, yeah.
He'll be in Kansas City, Brandon Dedrick,
and
working out.
And sometimes you get to see guys playing a different position. You know, they just see how he looks lining up in a certain position, a cornerback playing safety, a safety playing cornerback.
And Bill already teased a lot of that at the draft with the whole Logan Ryan will be playing safety, and who's the other guy, the guy we drafted? I wrote his profile.
Jermaine Thomas?
Yeah, him. Be playing some corner.
Jermaine, I heard of him.
Jermaine, not of.
You wrote the story.
Is it Jamia or Jermaine? You had a pronunciation in that.
All right.
Now.
Me.
Me, Jermaine.
Big me in the middle.
Right. I remember you had.
Kind of like how I would write my name. Yeah.
All right, big so we'll be here until 2 o'clock today.
I'm already bored
Patriots,
with this show.
And I got a feeling a lot of other things. Webradio at patriots.com. It's the email address 508-298-0398. Is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Andy's back from Disney World. And so do you like, love, or dislike Disney World at this point?
Indifferent. Here's another one.
I like. You like?
Why?
I wouldn't say it's like a strong love.
What was the best thing you did? Not the kids, but you enjoyed.
Well, you know, for me, food is pretty high on the... So that sways me. Like, we had dinner
kitchen
on
sink?
Monday. The kitchen sink was really good, that big Sunday I ate.
Right.
And then... We had dinner at that T-Rex place that Paul recommended, which is just a theme restaurant.
With, right.
You know, but the dinosaurs move and,
right.
you know, and I had good nachos and a good burger and a couple beers and I enjoyed it.
So did you go on any rides yourself?
I did. I went on Test Track and...
No Aerosmith.
I didn't do
Aerosmith. Tower of Terror.
I almost just swore no.
You didn't even go on Space Mountain?
No.
You
Space
are.
Mountain is not...
I did Barnstormer and all that.
I did Goofy's Barnstormer
and all that.
Yeah.
Goofy's Barnstormer. It's just unbelievable. I've been on that a million times because my kids have always been small.
Yeah, yeah. I don't fit in the seats. For
no, I'm fatter than you. You don't think I fit any better, do you?
I do know that some of these fast rides have an arm length requirement, so maybe that.
I took a
picture
for you.
Of some of those.
That's why he was good at the T-Rex.
Right, right.
At the T-Rex place, they had a T-shirt that said "License to Carry Short Arms" or something, and I thought of you. I really enjoyed the Test Track, except for that very last, like, curve when you're doing, like, 60 miles an hour. And, you know, my belly stayed back there while the rest of me went over there.
Yeah.
But
how long did you have to wait for that?
Oh, we didn't wait for almost anything.
That's good.
Dieter did a good job with the fast passing and the when we went and kind of organizing.
I love the my favorite moment when Andy got back. He was telling Fred about a lot of stuff. Fred's a big Disney guy.
I love Disney.
Loves Disney.
No, I haven't been there in ages.
And, why not?
And Andy said something along the lines of, I feel like, you know, we were there for 8 days, but I only like scratched the surface. I got like 30%, and Fred responds with, then you didn't do it right.
That's true.
You didn't do it right.
Well, I didn't do it right.
Mr. Disney.
8 days and you didn't get to do everything?
Well, it wasn't all. Like, we went to SeaWorld. We went to Legoland.
Waste of time.
I love SeaWorld. I thought SeaWorld was phenomenal. And according to my wife,
not a waste of time. Waste of time.
You those do that all separately.
Of course you do.
Well, we did.
One
we got
day
in a car,
you go to
we drove over there.
I mean, a separate vacation.
No.
I got to focus on
well,
one
first
thing,
of all, I'm
Disney
not rich
World.
Enough to fly back and forth to Florida
what,
multiple
you,
times.
You do like 8 days of the Magic Kingdom?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's just
you're such
that's
a
just poor to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to do there.
And my wife said that the Manta Ray or something yeah. at SeaWorld was her favorite
well,
of all the rides.
That's a big.
She thought it was phenomenal.
That's a big roller coaster.
Yeah, she and you lay forward or
I
something.
I mean, even Aerosmith, which I love, is nowhere near.
No,
those.
That one right. that Andy's yeah. talking about. That's
she
a big,
loved
that's,
it.
That's,
she was
that's a big one.
It.
I've never been on that one.
And for you, the Jedi training was very cool.
Okay.
When my kids got the I don't know. The Obi-Wan trainer guy
yeah.
was phenomenal. Put
well,
on a great show.
Tell Jackson I'll give him the advanced course now that he's gone through that one.
That makes it sound dirty, so stop.
Why? Why is that dirty?
Because you make it sound like a creepy old man. Tell your son I'll throw him the advanced course.
No, it's Jedi training.
You pass a Corey first before you go anywhere near him.
He's unbelievable. That's all he thinks about.
Yeah.
It's all he thinks about.
But it was, and the Darth Vader and the.
And notice the kind that he Darth always Maul. Thinks about.
Yeah, right. The Darth Maul. Those guys were really cool, like
yeah.
well done up and like real looking.
Yeah, okay.
And they had stormtroopers letting us in. And
Gretchen Mall was there. What?
Right. Gretchen Mall.
Well, you're back. So
more importantly,
she's a modern actress. So it's not even like an old time.
Well, one last Disney thing. You would the whole phenom of these magic bands is up your alley for technology. Because they're all whatever RF radio frequency,
right.
And they're everything.
Yeah.
We need them for everyday life.
Yeah,
I enjoyed just having one thing on my hand that did everything. It got me into my house,
yeah.
got me into my bus,
that's what
got
we
me
need.
Into
more,
my ride.
More no. ways for people to monitor what we're doing. That's what we.
Well,
need.
I
more
did
of
think
that.
Of that. I did think of that.
Oh,
like
sure.
they
know
everything.
Every place you go.
Also, he's here buying a bottle of water, right. and then he's over here buying a Mickey hat. And
absolutely.
But it is pretty cool to just be able to do everything with that one band, and it was neat. But more back to, did you see I got to think Robert Kraft is doing cartwheels upstairs as we speak. If the LA Clippers are worth $1.8 to $2 billion.
Well, does that include the Staples Center?
I would assume it does.
Okay.
But
does.
Either way.
Yeah.
They own the Staples Center?
I believe so.
Sterling does.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's where his big coup is. He owns the building.
Ah.
But either way, so I got
to
think.
He rents it out to the Lakers?
They're the number two team in their town. In the number two or three league of sports.
Yeah.
And I got to think
much?
NFL owners, Jerry Jones, Robert Kraft, like, woo!
Prince does those valuations.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing them on Forbes when the last list came out.
I got to think that like the Cowboys and the Patriots will start approaching $3 billion now.
Do you ever think when those kinds of things come out, there's no way anybody's ever going to pay that, though?
I generally do until this guy bid $1.8 billion. Some Microsoft, his CEO, Ballmer.
Steve Ballmer?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was the number two guy at Microsoft behind
yeah.
Gates.
Yeah, well. I generally assume that, yes, Paul. It's like my baseball cards when I was a little kid. Ooh, this is worth $100. And you go to the card store and the guy goes, I'll give you three.
Yeah, but that's always because it's not in the right condition or whatever. I just feel like those valuations are
well, no, because it's the same as anything. Something is worth what somebody will pay you for it, not what anybody tells you the market value is for it. And if this guy pays $1.8 billion, then that's what a franchise is worth.
Well, and when they do the Patriots valuation, I think it was like 1.3, the last one.
Oh, no.
Like that doesn't include the whole Patriot place and all
that.
Oh,
yeah, no. But I thought we were over two.
Really? Maybe.
I thought we made it over two. Not we.
I don't know
why I'm saying we.
Yeah, has nothing to do with me.
Because we don't trickle down.
Yeah, nope. I don't know.
I forgot what it was.
Matter of fact, we probably bring that number down a little bit.
I think we were third. I think it was Redskins were ahead of us.
No, right? Well, whether it was this year or last year, we flip-flopped with the Redskins.
Okay.
We were two for either last year or this year.
Okay.
Behind the Cowboys.
Right.
Which, by the way, they are apparently putting on a massive show. This is the second to last George Strait concert. The last one is in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And apparently it's going to be the show to end all shows.
I would imagine.
Until he comes back and does another tour.
Well, yeah, he's already hinted. But everybody's going to be there. Anybody that's, Kenny Rogers to whoever's still alive to your modern day Garth Brooks, they're all performing at
really?
His final concert.
Can you give me a
showing
song?
Once again, by the way.
Oh,
how
so he's an old guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's been 30
forever.
Years.
What do you think? He had 60
number
one
hits
like in 2010.
Since Britney Spears, one album.
Oh, okay. I didn't know he was really, really old.
What part of spanning the generations and bridging the gap did
you
get?
I just thought you meant in terms of his style and his
music. No, he's actually changed.
Andy, at least I pay attention.
In the beginning, he was really... Yeah, you know, like old school country,
and he's got this.
And
thing,
then he sort of Zydeco poppy.
He does this old like southern.
Can you give me a song or two?
All my exes live in Texas.
That's one of the old ones.
That's an old one.
I heard of that.
A new one is
Check Yes or No was kind of in the middle.
Yes or No. Good Times. G to the O to the O to the D. T to the I and the M and the E.
Yeah, that's
good
more
times.
Like poppy kind of.
Is he shift work?
Do you have any no recollection? You're not a country music guy.
I am not at all.
I figured you'd get into that.
No,
he might be
shift work.
Nope.
Obviously, the name of the tour, The Cowboy Rides Away. That's a little more of an older one, though.
But if you Google it and went to his wiki, you'd know more of it.
Country music's like the new black. Everybody's into country music now.
Right.
Well, yeah. It's trendy.
But he's been into country music for 30 years.
No, yeah. I know that.
And I think that's his most impressive thing, is it? Not many people
longevity.
Do that. They span generations and are popular
he's
70s,
adapted.
80s, 90s, 2000s.
Right. Rolling Stones.
Bad era. There,
are they really?
Taylor.
Yeah. When was their last new big song? He keeps pumping out number one hits. They pump out the same stupid hits they've been singing for 30 years.
Well, but also, if they come out with something new... It doesn't sound much different than what they put out originally.
Whereas he's changed
in. Definitely
changed.
Well,
the Rolling Stones did have that disco phase in the 70s, which was an embarrassment.
Start Me Up and all that stuff.
But it wasn't Start Me Up.
It wasn't successful.
But I mean, he's had number one hits literally every decade.
Almost every year. Almost every year you can count on a George Strait hit.
Well, now, is he's number one in overall charts or the country charts?
Country charts.
I think I could get to number one in the country charts.
Why are you being like that?
Now we got to diminish George Strait.
Jeez.
I don't think it's that hard to get up there.
So we can talk about
U2. Charts. I don't think there's a lot of competition.
Big whoop.
I don't like
there's not a lot of competition.
Who does he like? I want to rip whoever he likes.
He probably likes U2.
It's just like the...
He probably like U2, right?
I like U2, yeah.
Pearl Jam.
Who's your favorite?
Pearl Jam, whatever. I'm not too familiar with, no.
I'm not familiar with that there, that jam.
Who do you think is
Jelly
great?
Jelly and
great
Jam,
Big Jam?
Like in all
Peanut Butter
all
and Jam.
Just somebody who you think is great.
Who's your favorite band?
Of all time?
Musical act, whatever.
Yeah,
it's got to be Earth, Wind, and Fire. But.
See, he has one.
I don't really have a favorite, you know?
You really don't?
Like, I was telling you guys, or maybe I wasn't. I saw about a month ago.
What does that even mean?
Somebody here in this building, I was telling, about a month ago, I saw Nickel Creek in the House of Blues, and they were unbelievable musically. It's
Nickel
more bluegrassy
Creek.
Type stuff.
Not Nickelback.
No,
not Nickelback. Nickel Creek.
Dawson's Creek.
And it was just excellent, you know?
Maybe
I'd
I
never seen
or
them
maybe
before,
I was.
But, you know, as musicians, they were like out of this world.
Which is good.
Do you only listen to one type of music, like one genre?
No, the only music I don't like are country, gospel, that's pretty much it. Or opera, you know, highfalutin opera.
Classical.
I love classical music, yeah.
Opera is kind of classical music.
It is,
though.
But I don't like all the woo. You know, I that's distracting to me.
I kind of agree.
I wouldn't mind
just hearing.
I like the music. Yeah.
Instrumental versions of operas. I wouldn't mind as much as actually listening.
I'm not that pretentious to like get into, you know, words I don't understand.
What if you understood the words?
Maybe it would be different.
Like Eric.
Like I like rock operas. You know, Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, I love
Jesus Tommy.
Christ Superstar.
You know, that's cool stuff. But you know, if I don't understand the words, what's the sense? You know.
Okay. So maybe you need to understand the word. Maybe you need to.
I have no interest.
How do you know you have no interest?
Because I know I have.
Because he is the one who decides his interest level.
He's decided.
You know, unlike you with fish, it's not like I listened to one when I was three and I decided I never like opera.
I had to eat it throughout my childhood. It wasn't once, Fred.
So
I became an adult, I could make my own choices. I said, I'm not eating this.
You know,
Andy. It is you, because he didn't tell him to F himself once the whole time you were
gone. You know, I have listened to operas in and out throughout my life, and I just decided that, you know, I'm not a big fan. That's all. You know.
So technically opera is in Italian?
No, not necessarily.
No, it could be any language.
Oh. But most of them are in either Italian, French, I believe Russian.
Is there give me an example of an opera in English that's not a rock opera.
An opera in English that's not a rock opera.
Well, like you said, Jesus Christ Superstar, I know. But, like, give me an example of one that's not a rock opera like that.
Well, I mean, would Les Miserables be an opera? Or is that just
a musical?
That's a musical.
That's just a musical?
Yeah, that's a musical.
So what's the difference?
Now, like Rent was from an opera, from La Boheme. That was an actual.
They turned
an
it
opera.
Into a musical.
So
though.
That was probably in English, right?
Yeah, Rent is in English.
No, I know Rent is, but La Boheme was the,
what
origin of Rent
something
was
being
La Boheme.
An opera versus,
I'm 99%
yeah,
sure. I don't
is
know.
An opera and you can't have any spoken word whatsoever? Or?
No, there are times in opera when they do, but I think that
you have to
forget exactly what the parameters
right.
would be to classify one an opera and one not. Well, part of it is the length. Operas are typically
too long.
Hours yeah. long, like 5-6 hours sometimes long.
What? And that's part of the reason some
operas
I have no
can
interest.
Be, yeah, because they well, not,
I can't watch baseball anymore, and I love baseball.
They
I'm
have
go to an opera for
5 hours.
So it's
not
hours?
Like they're singing straight for 6 hours or 4 or 5 hours, but like a musical is 90 minutes to 2 hours at tops with an intermission.
Right.
But
yeah, they give you just enough time to go and get a couple of beers so you can get through the second
right.
the second act.
Right.
I actually
how did we
don't,
get here?
I don't mind musicals. I've been to
it depends.
A few
you
of
know,
those.
Some are good, some aren't. It's just like anything else.
Oh, I like musicals.
Yeah. Just like anything else. Nowadays, the musicals aren't as good as they used to be. Now it's they just talk and they talk sing. I got up. I took a shower. You know, it's
they,
like
they too.
It's not as good as it used to be. You know,
or they just take
musicals?
Like
yeah.
The
songs.
Are you kidding me?
Like the, Billy Joel, yeah. they just took his songs and said, "Okay,
you
it's
obviously
a musical.
You obviously haven't been to see a musical lately."
Getting
I, it, no, seriously.
Go F yourself, no. you fat effer.
You, have you seen Once? The musical?
I've seen
once?
More than once.
No. Have you seen Once?
I've seen more than once.
Once is the name of a musical based on a movie. They turned it into a musical.
You know
it's
what the
phenomenal.
Sequel was called, obviously.
Have you seen Jersey Boys?
Twice.
I've listened to the music of Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys. Yeah. Phenomenal. Yeah. Modern day musical. Great. Have you seen Wicked?
You ignorant
modern day
slut.
Musical, yeah. phenomenal.
Oh, Wicked,
Tony
was good.
Award winner.
Wicked
have you seen Book of Mormon?
Yeah, a lot.
Can't get more modern day than that.
A lot of the music.
Six
though,
time right? Tony Award
the
winner.
The music's good. But a lot of the lyrics are just not as good as they used to be.
Right.
You know. All right.
How did we get here?
There was
George
something
Strait.
Else I
good
wanted
to be
George
back. Straight.
Oh.
The Gronk
I mean,
news yesterday?
I apologize, and people are like, why aren't they talking football? But
we'll get to it. Because Andy's back.
I mentioned on Twitter, and I think on this show, that I saw Godzilla, and I didn't like it.
As Andy predicted.
And
thank
I,
you.
It was a lot
Did
of
Twitter
people
blow up?
Couldn't understand why I didn't like it, and a lot of people agreed with me. But I think I owe people an explanation as to why I didn't like it. And I think where it came down to is I went in wanting to like have high expectations.
The dialogue was matching the scenes.
Really, I really wanted to be excited about Godzilla.
Good.
Bomb.
But I think
he has his stuff today.
To me, when you're doing a remake of
didn't
something
while I was
that
gone, from
is,
what I heard.
Is known, you know,
you heard
so,
wrong, bitch.
I mean, obviously, you know, everybody knew Godzilla, and this was a remake. I think that you have to build on it. I think you have to build on what was known and make it better. Go take it to a new place, and I'll give you an example. I think, you know, everybody knew the Batman series on TV, and then they made it with Michael Keaton, and I think that got better. And then I just think they brought it to a whole new level with
Christian Bale.
Yeah, I just think and it was just unbelievable. And I think even with Superman, you know, each evolution of remake of Superman brought it to a new level where I think the last one was the best.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they did that with this Godzilla. I don't think they took what we knew and built on it. I think, you know, it was a little bit different, but it wasn't better. It wasn't adding anything, you know, that we haven't seen before or as far as the plot particularly. I think the effects were amazing, but I don't think they took the story of Godzilla
what
to the next
What was the plot
level.
In this one?
Well, I don't want to spoil it for people.
Well, basically, what is
Big
it?
Big Lizard destroys I mean, city.
Well, no, because in some
Monster
of them...
Monster Mad!
Basically...
In some of them, Godzilla is the hero.
Well, yeah, see, that's...
And he's fighting another
gigantic I don't think I've actually
villain.
Ever seen a single, like,
Rodan... Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them all.
Right?
I've seen Godzilla versus Mothra, Godzilla versus
Mothra,
King Kong. I've seen
right.
them all.
Mothra. I've seen them all. Creature double feature.
Creature double feature
absolutely.
On Saturdays.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I saw the Matthew
followed
Broderick.
Followed by Soccer Made in Germany.
Right. And I saw the Matthew Broderick remake. You know, so
I never saw that.
I had a foundation of Godzilla that I was hoping, wow, with today's technology and knowing what they know about the story, I figured they were going to just take this thing to a new level, and I don't think they did.
Is it bombing, or how's it doing?
It did very well its first weekend, but then it went down.
As people like you said, eh.
Yeah.
So is
you are a trendsetter.
Is Godzilla the villain in this?
I don't want to spoil it for people. Yeah, I think you should go in.
Oh, I'm not going to see it. So,
well, off air.
Yeah, but you're not the only one listening. Right now.
We have 250
fingers crossed. No, well, it's just us. It's just this room.
They were at least listening at 12. I don't know what they're doing now.
They're going and finding English operas.
There are people that listen to the show and are, you know, follow me on Twitter that disagree with me. They thought it was really good, and you know, okay, that's fine. I just didn't. You know? Okay.
Who produced it? Who made, is it a big time name that made it or whatever? Or, no, I mean,
I don't know.
Michael Bay? Is
no,
it one
wasn't
of those?
Michael Bay. Yeah.
His new movie looks terrible.
Which one?
The new
Transformers.
Which with looks like it has a big robot lizard transformer in it. Yeah, it looks terrible. Yeah. Horrible.
Why?
I don't know. I think it just looks like crap on screen.
Why?
It just does. The
trailer. Too much action?
I don't know. Yeah. And I really liked the other ones.
I mean, it's Transformers. I mean, you know.
It looks terrible.
And that's what some people
said. It's like porn.
To me.
I know when I see it. It looks terrible.
That's what some people said to me. It's Godzilla. What did you expect? Well, I think you can be creative with it and have a cool backstory. And
now, did they make any attempt to be different? Or was it just a total, like, remake? I mean, did they take a swing for the fences and missed or just bunted in it?
No, I think they bunted and played it safe in terms of the story, you know.
It's going to be a franchise?
Obviously, this nuclear
elements?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Did
it's
it
going to be a series?
Is it going to be
a
franchise?
And the director specifically said he ended it definitively so that it would stand alone and you wouldn't need a sequel. There was no indication that, oh, there's going to be a sequel.
So Lizard
obviously,
dies
you
end.
Could. You could, but you know, there's no plans for it right now.
Okay, so that'll probably change if it does halfway decent.
Oh yeah, but I'm not sure it is, and it probably had a big budget. Speaking of videos,
yes,
Burger Time with Julian Edelman, very funny.
Did you think so?
Oh, I did.
I think it was a good attempt. I think obviously he was taking a lot from Between Two Ferns and trying to use that kind of format with a lot of staring at the camera. And
what is Between Two Ferns?
I don't know what that is, but I thought
he was good.
The Garoppolis, what's his name? The comedian Garoppolo or
Janine Garoppolo?
No. The guy. What's the guy? Garolopoulos. He was in
Zach Galifianakis,
or whatever.
Galifianakis.
Yeah, he has.
He the one who interviewed the president.
Yes, on that thing.
He's got a whole series called Between Two Ferns, which are hysterical.
Because he's got two fern plants.
Yeah,
on
he did Justin Bieber, and it was really, really funny making fun of him.
I thought this was funny.
The style here was obviously taken from that.
You heard me in Mike
the effing burger.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. He calls him buddy.
I think what I give Edelman credit for is being courageous.
And it was much better than Shake Time or whatever his first one was.
Smoothie Time.
But for a pro athlete to put himself out there like that and go out on a limb, and I give him a lot of credit for that.
I enjoy it. And clearly he enjoys it. I mean, he's not just doing it to achieve something.
He definitely has a future doing it, I think.
I think he does too. And
right up until Bill steps on it, squashes it.
Well,
and says,
that was
stop.
The only thing that I was looking at Andy. I'm like, how do they like to have these videos out there?
Too bad. It's his free time. And I don't, you know, he didn't do anything that reveal any secrets or anything like that.
No, I had no problem with it, but I have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
I loved it.
I thought he was funny, and I thought some of his little, you know, like you said, like the looking at the camera thing.
Yeah.
I thought some of his mannerisms were good.
I don't want to say it, but because we don't want to spoil it, like Godzilla, another guy makes
an
appearance.
I'm sure everybody's seen
it. Well,
just
in case they
haven't.
Another guy makes an appearance who I didn't know who he was when he first appeared in the film until he told me later who he was in the film, but
I recognized him for obvious reasons.
I thought he was a Gronkowski brother. I thought he was the youngest kid.
But he's funny too.
And I do like the way he kept saying,
especially his thing at the end.
Because Chandler Jones is in it, and
I thought that was John.
And he keeps saying, but I like how he keeps going, okay, bones. Yeah. Like the way he said bones every time.
And the air quotes.
Bones. Chandler's like, I'm your teammate.
Just
walked over here after
lunch. I was your ride.
The production
and then
assistant.
The Devin McCourty video.
I have not seen that one yet.
Somewhat funny. I didn't think it was all that funny, and I kind of found it sad because I felt like nobody knew who he was. He was on the streets of Boston, and I felt like no one knew who he was, dishing out free safety advice.
Right.
Like, he was kind of funny, but I don't know.
And then, of course, the Robert Kraft and the team were at the Play 60 event yesterday that Eric covered and Patriots Today covered. And
it was the first ever Play 60 and Play 60 Plus because they invited some of the older crowd.
So they go
crowd.
61 minutes?
No, no. No, age. They were doing an age thing. They invited some of the senior members of the community.
Oh, I didn't know Play 60 was about
it's
being
not.
60 years old.
It's not, Fred. That's the play on words. It's Play
Close
60
Close your effing mouth
and
listen
plus.
For an effing minute.
Once?
Twice?
Three times. All right.
So Gronk is
Eric
not
says,
going
to
participate.
Why are these guys talking about operas and Godzilla for 30 minutes? Come on, get to the Pats. What?
We're talking about the Pats. Due to the latency of the internet, you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
But
I'm
Gronk
sure.
is we're not giving you all on the field.
Yeah, we're giving you all your Pats update
Gronk,
right
Gronk
now.
Gronk was running.
Are you freaking kidding me? Say something about football, please.
Shut up. Keith.
Your mother looks like a football.
Gronk was running around the gym with clowning around and with Edelman and some of the other guys. And
that's good.
Spoke afterwards, and they were all Race wearing they were all wearing long pants of some kind. I think Gronk may have had sweatpants, or you know, like
because it's freaking frigid in this place,
like track short, track pants kind of thing.
Hiding
but
a brace?
It's cold yesterday.
It didn't look like he was wearing any sort of brace at all or anything.
Good news is you would have seen a drain for an infection, and that wasn't visible.
Yeah, that was not visible
given his history.
And he said the big news from him was that he said, you know, his knee is doing okay or something along those lines. He was asked if he's going to take part in OTAs, and he said, I'm doing my own thing on the side,
right.
basically.
Yep.
Which, not a surprise, but the fact that he said it was newsworthy. And that was really your big headline from yesterday.
Okay. And then tonight, there's a
tonight.
Big thing at Gillette Stadium, Clinic for Moms, which is kind of teaching mothers who have kids that might or are playing youth football, what's involved, and Roger Goodell will be here, the commissioner of the league, as well as I think Robert Kraft will be here.
Yes, mm-hmm. absolutely.
And various players.
Now, the only thing I was wondering about that, and I don't know what the plans are, but Tampa Bay owner Malcolm Glazier passed away yesterday.
Right.
And I didn't know if perhaps that would keep Commissioner Goodell.
Oh,
I don't know
if there's a service
you
know. Or something.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure that Mr. Kraft would attend that as well.
Yeah.
But my guess is that the timing will allow him to do this tonight
and then
and
go,
get to anything that probably wouldn't be until tomorrow.
Right.
But that was the only thing, just in case people, you know, if anybody is going or that and something happens and they're not there.
I guess he was ill
that
for
would
a
probably
while.
Be why. You
know? He was much older than I thought. I didn't think he was that old.
Because
I thought he looked younger.
It look like a leprechaun, you know? Malcolm Glazier?
I was just going with the beard made him look younger, I think. He's one of those guys that I think the beard maybe covered up.
Andy said,
wrinkled.
I said to him when I saw the news on Twitter, I said, oh, Malcolm Glazier died. And he goes, really? He was young, wasn't he? And I was like, it said 85.
Right.
Like,
I would have tabbed him in his like
70s, maybe?
Not even. I probably would have said late mid 60s is what I thought of him. He had that nice dark beard that I think made me think he was younger.
I thought it was a red beard.
Reddish, yeah.
Dark, whatever.
Yeah, but dark.
It wasn't white and gray, which can make you look older.
Right.
I thought he looked, he looks younger than Paul. If you had said Malcolm Glazier died or Paul died based on looks, you know, it'd be a toss up.
All right.
And then, you should, I said, because Maya Angelou was earlier in the day.
Yes.
And I said, Maya Angelou, 86, Malcolm Glazier, 85. And we were doing the, you know, these things.
Paul,
coming
84.
Threes.
All right.
That's what he said.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Welcome back.
Eldridge is in North Carolina. He says he knows who George Strait is.
Yeah, I'm 60.
Are you really?
You don't sound that old.
I took you as more late 30s.
Yeah, I thought you were, you know, a hard late 30s, you know, based on tough life on the road. But.
I had you pushing.
Keep on trucking.
Hey, Andy, man. I'm 52. Yeah, grew up living with George Strait, and I like Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
I listen to a little country because I'm driving trucks, so most times. Can't find a station you don't want, so most of it is to his country.
Well, you drive a truck, so it's the rule. You have to.
Right, exactly.
Okay, see what the rule is. All right. But, like the show as usual, but I listened to the podcast the other week, the other day when I was on there. My wife said, do you guys come out so strong? I said, no. But that other caller called after me. I don't know who he was watching. I got an NFL ticket to. And
Brandon LaFell.
Yeah,
Brandon LaFell.
Right.
First, he got 4,000 yards passing, so he's not a rookie. He was a rookie, but he's a good thrower. Brandon dropped a lot of them.
Okay.
You know, first 7 years.
Yeah, Andy, we had someone called in after Eldridge last week claiming that LaFell would have had double the numbers if he had someone who was completing passes to him. you know, and Fred brought up, well, you know, Cam Newton's pretty good. And he goes, yeah, but he missed him so many times, and you know,
skied the ball over his
head.
Well,
he may have. I mean, I don't. I haven't watched
Football Focus
enough of it.
Claims that he had one of the highest drop rates in football.
His scouting report is drop city. But I will say, like, you know, the old days with Algie Crumpler and Michael Vick. Algie Crumpler used to have to catch passes at his knees, above his head, and, you know, I don't know where Cam Newton's necessarily putting the ball. He's not the most accurate passer in the league. He's a young, you know, he was a rookie when he did throw for 4,000 yards.
4,000 yards, he's accurate.
But, just because you throw for 4,000 yards doesn't mean you're accurate. You, and Cam Newton is not an accurate quarterback. That is not going to be one of his strengths early in his career. He may evolve to become more accurate, but accuracy is one of the things he needs to get better at. But without having seen all the plays, I have to go with a site like Pro Football Focus. And that's one thing where I think you can... Did he drop it?
Right.
You know, if we watch all the games, we might be off by, you know, 5% or something.
Right.
But for the most part, you know a drop when you see it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ball should have been caught.
I'm just mad because, like I said, 5 years, best quarterback. We got your dance two times, big dance two times, and you drop it two times. I mean, you don't get a man enough weapons. I mean, no, Gronk is the man, but if the man ain't there, you need somebody else.
That's true.
So far, you know, you had Edelman, but Edelman can't run down the field, especially defense.
Well, no.
Amendola, to me, is a wasted money, wasted draft, a trade, wasted picks. So is Brandon LaFell. Okay. Now, if you got Vincent Jackson at the time, he came available, I'd have paid him. I'd have got him. At least he had one valuable receiver.
Well, what about everybody seemed to recently be on the, well, we're learning offense doesn't win. You got to go back to defense. Well, isn't that what they did? Yeah. This offseason, they went back towards defense. They got the best defensive player that they could get.
You know, Eldridge, he's consistent. He's very concerned with the wide receiving core. And
I am too.
Know, yeah.
I'm with him. I'm not totally sold on that.
There's a lot of wait and see.
If Gronk's not on the field, I'm downright scared.
All right, thanks for the call, Eldridge. Paulie in L.A. wants to yell at me. What did I do wrong, Paulie?
How could you talk that bad about Godzilla?
I'm just telling you what I think.
Wait a minute. Are you in the movie?
No.
Okay. Do you know somebody who made the movie?
No, but I'm excited about the director getting a new job directing one of the Star Wars spinoffs.
Oh, really? Well, Fred will not be happy with that if he didn't
like
the
job. I thought J.J. Abrams was doing that.
That is.
He's doing the new series, but Gareth is going to do the one of the spinoff films.
Okay. Oh. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how much Gareth had to do with the plot and the writing of it and the concept.
Like,
but
that they established how he came about from everything that's already happened in the past. Are you unhappy with the fact that they set up everything that was going to happen throughout the film in the first emotionally, the beginning of the film?
Yeah, maybe that might have had something to do with it.
Well, I thought they did a great job. Luckily, the two, or unfortunately, the two actors in it were that was awful. Godzilla was a better actor than this.
Yeah, and that had something to do with it as well. Although, I don't go into a Godzilla movie looking for, you know, Academy Award. You know, I was fine with, you know, bad acting. But
who were the leads?
I just thought that, you know, with a concept that we're all very familiar with and love, let's take it to the next level. Let's do something that...
Isn't Bryan Cranston one of the leads?
He is, but I won't spoil that for you either. Yeah,
no, actually Godzilla.
They did all of it.
You thought
so? Absolutely. They took... There was so much more to do with him. There was so much... he teased the battles a little more. I wish he didn't do that. I wish I was able to enjoy the battles a little bit more. I felt like he pulled back some
of
the battles.
And also, I have a problem... You know, I know we're supposed to suspend belief, but I have a problem when Godzilla's supposed to be, I don't know, 600 feet tall, and he's standing next to the Golden Gate Bridge where the water is 400 feet deep, and it's up to his ankle. You know, so let's take a little
suspension
bit
of disbelief.
No, but at least for those
things. That's
where
the God part of Godzilla comes in.
At least for
walk
those
on
things,
water.
Let's be accurate. You know, if we're, you know.
Oh, God.
Like, I hate when people don't.
But
look,
if he's barely
details.
Sticking out of the water, then he's not impressive.
It's disbelief you're supposed to be suspending.
You know,
that's what I said.
No,
yeah.
I think he said
so
belief.
Don't shoot that, you know, shot. Do something
else.
Well,
not everybody knows that it's 400
but
feet
but
deep there. And for all I know, you're wrong.
No, because, you know, we're supposed to be.
Because you usually are.
We're supposed to be impressed by his immensity and all that stuff, but you got to make it accurate. You know, in one scene, he can't be taller than a skyscraper, in the other scene, not. You know,
I thought they had the scale right on. I thought it was very good. But I think what you did was you went in with over expectation. You wanted it to be way higher than it was going to be. And like Devin McCourty, you have to go in with lower expectations.
Oh, okay. A little Patriots analogy there. Okay.
You know, and speaking of Mr. McCourty, I want to know what you guys think of him as the underrated Patriots player. Because apparently Mike Reese put out a report a couple days ago saying that he was voted as one of the underrated players out there.
Yeah, ESPN.com had something about that. Yeah. I saw that.
Well, you know, this goes back to Bill in the offseason talking about, you know, you really don't know what's going on in the field unless you're one of the coaches. And McCourty could be one of the cases where when things go wrong in that backfield, it's him trying to make the best of it rather than him being the cause.
Which I think is interesting because we did not draft a safety, you know?
Yeah.
And with all the moves on the offseason, I have a feeling, I have absolutely nothing but my gut instinct, but it feels like I think we're going to see more McCourty at safety. And with Revis and Browner or whomever, is on the other side from Revis, I think that's going to be your backfield. And I think that's interesting. That's, you know, if he's such a good communicator and you've got such a great player in Revis, and, you know, Browner is very physical, and they're going to man up. I mean, exciting.
Yes.
Yeah, it is exciting.
And it's also a make or break. You've eliminated the excuse. You've put the best corner in football next to him. Now he doesn't have to worry about the guy not knowing what he's doing or covering his ass or any of this stuff.
Right.
If you don't start playing like a pro bowler that a lot of people think you are or making plays, being an impact, well, then you're just not that.
Yeah.
Now you're just a rich man's James Sanders.
Right.
And going into, if I'm not mistaken, he comes into his fifth year. We're expecting
the 5-year contract. Job.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now, the thing is, that I find interesting, saying everything I just said and the expectations that you may have that he's going to be better because, you know, some of his limitations were based on who's around him. Well, do you pay him now or are you waiting and paying him? You know, when does that unfold? I fully expect him to get an extension sooner rather than later. I think he's going to get paid. I think he's going to get his $30 million.
More than Arrington made?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, I think so?
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to get $30-something million.
I think they love him.
Yeah. I think he's going to get teams guaranteed.
But they loved your guy, too, Andy.
Who?
And
they paid him. Sanders?
Yeah, but then they cut him.
You know? 3 years later.
Right.
Yeah.
But they
love a lot of guys that they end up cutting.
Yeah. I think Arrington will be the next one of those guys.
Right.
They clearly loved him last year. I don't think he'll play out that contract.
But he's going to make more money. I mean, he's a starting safety as opposed to the nickel guy, and he's a higher-level player, first-round pick. He's going to... I mean, what's he making? I mean, he's making decent money as a first-round pick.
Well, it'll be interesting, you know, because he was a first-round draft pick as a cornerback.
Correct.
And, you know, okay, so that's a good platform to jump on for your second – jump off of from your – for your second contract. But now they say, well, little reset here because you –
Oh, yeah.
His, you know.
And I got to think his agents will be up to that. You know, he's a safety now. So my comp contracts are safety contracts. They're not $50 million corner contracts.
Right.
But I will be stunned if he doesn't get some $30 million deal with, you know, teens guaranteed and however it's structured. I'll be stunned.
All right.
I'm okay with that. And one last thing, Fred. Ken Watanabe, in my opinion, is the whole movie. Like, I think him and Godzilla make the movie for me.
It was good to have him in there, yes. Yeah.
And thank you, gentlemen. Take care.
Okay. Thanks Paulie.
All right.
One of our famous listeners.
Yes.
Paulie is an accomplished actor out in L.A. What are you looking at me for?
He's kind of faded, huh? Because the
Visa commercials
are out of the loop.
Yeah.
You know, that's a new year. And
well, I'm sure he's doing other stuff.
No, I know. Yeah. He probably does a lot of stuff like you were talking, you know, the comedic you know, stuff that, not necessarily national, but
right. On
a local level and everything, probably gets a lot of run.
Very lucrative career.
Lucrative.
Let's go to Todd in Toronto. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys. Just a couple observations. Andy, you're never allowed to go on a freaking holiday again because these guys are so freaking boring.
Whoa!
And Fred talks about turkeys for 45 minutes with some guy. The next thing they're going to do is be masturbating chickens or something.
Oh, boy.
I actually laughed because I didn't totally get what the turkey thing was, but I go to Boston.com this morning, and the first story is about Brookline and turkeys and the town bowing down to turkeys.
We're always ahead of the curve.
It is true.
That was the one guy who missed you.
No, there's tons. Tons.
That was the one.
Groundswell of support on Twitter and the internet.
Todd in Toronto, big Andy fan.
Fine, you know, at least you make it interesting.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right. So, after watching a lot of the stuff, you know, Wilfork barbecuing, I hadn't seen that video. God forbid that they ever show that again because that's too much stuff in motion. And then seeing Gronk moving around like he thinks he's a 12-year-old again. Kind of nice to watch, a little nerve-wracking, but you know what? If we all show up, if everybody comes to camp, and yeah, okay, I'm using the proverbial we again, but if we're all there, everybody shows up.
If, Paul?
What the heck is going to, where are we going to rank? Offensively, defensively, where are we going
to
rank?
I think we'll rank higher. I think we have the potential to rank higher defensively than offensively this year.
I would agree.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because I'm not sold that Gronk's going to – he's the key to the offense, and I'm not sold he's going to play the full season.
Right.
And defensively, you're hoping Chandler Jones gets better, so your pass rush gets better, and your pass rush gets better because you have the best corner. You've sort of added to the back end. And theoretically, you're not going to lose both Wilfork and Mayo and Jamie Collins.
Maybe Will Smith can do something.
I think there's far more reason for legitimate hope on defense than I do on offense.
And don't
I think offense is a crapshoot.
Yeah.
With the emphasis on crap.
Tied into that, if we stay healthy all year and you see some improvement like that, I know you guys did your picks based on kind of where you think it is, but if, this picks. Hypothetical, if we actually stay healthy, what are we going to, what's our...
Oh, it's Super Bowl. Like?
What picks,
there's
are,
no
we,
doubt,
what picks are we talking about?
No, 60, are we going to be, you know, you picked which games we were going to lose. You guys did that earlier.
I didn't.
Yeah, I don't know.
It might have been when I was.
I don't remember.
It might have been when I was on vacation.
That changes daily.
I may have. I don't recall.
Yeah. You guys may have done that one of the shows that I was gone for. Yeah. I don't.
I said 12-4.
Yeah,
well, I do remember that spurred the whole fight between you two because everybody said Eric was being so positive he must have got laid. Remember? And then you two fought forever. Blah blah blah.
Right.
That's exactly when we did
man,
it.
Oh man, it's so much better that Andy's back. And you guys are all a bunch of a holes again.
I find it boring.
Todd called the last show and was begging Paul to start a fight with Fred.
Yeah, he was. Todd wanted me to start a fight with Fred.
All right,
Todd.
But I
couldn't come up with anything.
Thanks
for
the call. I'm getting bored of Todd. I'm only kidding.
Thanks, Todd.
Call anytime.
Somebody actually tweeted, like, please don't talk for 2 hours about Hernandez.
Don't talk for 1 second about Hernandez. Know,
the right? only... I haven't yet, but...
No,
we should.
Well, yeah. I don't know if we need to talk. Okay, so he killed other people. We know he's a killer.
We
allegedly.
Knew that.
But Paul's thing was, the reports were that this could take up to 24 months for the trial,
yeah,
for this case.
18 to 24 months for this trial.
So this cap relief we're talking about is
probably
like
not going to be for a
off
long time.
Down the road.
Right.
That's the one, you know, relative to the here and
Imagine
now Patriots.
Getting on that jury.
But he pleaded not guilty. Unlike Jared Remy earlier in the same week here in Boston, Hernandez pleaded not guilty. That's the only update we have on anything.
Right.
This one is even more, you know, when they sort of mapped it out, they have the car and the gun and the footage and, you know, the other one, they were looking for the murder weapon. And they even, I don't know where they're getting this, but like, they have him quoted. I think I got one in the head and one in the chest. Like,
well, obviously somebody in jail is singing like a bird.
Well, wasn't there only one other person in the car with him?
I don't know.
They've got somebody.
I was on the Twitter feed yesterday, you know, cause everybody was watching this, the arraignment and just, this is chilling, and it's like a Law and Order episode unfolding.
Right.
Before he's being arraigned for a double murder. Did you think it was like he went to the ice cream store and came back, and two guys ended up being dead?
Yeah, I thought it was a little bit over the top. Some of the
what did you think was going to come out of it?
I didn't see any of that. I do think the one thing that's chilling is the report that he murdered a guy because a drink was spilled on him.
But
that's the only history they had is that he bumped him with and he spilled his drink.
Well, that was kind of news because
that was definitely news.
Yeah,
but what did you think it was over? Like he milked him out of like $10 million and he wanted revenge.
I was hoping they might have known each other.
I was hoping there was something more than just a spilled drink.
Right.
Because that leads me again to.
But it wouldn't have been anything.
What if I stepped on his toe in the locker room at his locker?
Right.
Like, you know, and he felt disrespected, and we got in the hall. Like, those are those kind of things. Like, you'd hope that somebody that gets murdered, there was. I always tell my wife, like, usually when you read about these graphic things, they were doing something they shouldn't have.
Right.
They were involved in something. Not, you know, they bumped a guy and he spilled his drink, so they put bullets in him.
It's not that random.
Right. This was seemingly, if
random.
They're right, yeah. random, you know.
Yeah. Now, listen.
He was feeling disrespected and people were testing him and
right.
like.
I understand what you're saying, and I'm not, obviously this is ridiculous that guys ended up getting murdered over something like this, but. Does anybody really believe that all they did was bump into him?
There were probably words exchanged.
That's all they know right now.
Yeah, no, I
imagine.
No, but what,
yeah.
but that's all the prosecution's telling you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine.
My
Paul's
guess
right.
is that, and again, nothing to that you deserve to be even in a fight over, let alone
but
lose
you,
your life.
You
over.
Say something, they say
yeah,
something, like, maybe you get a little pushing.
So,
whatever.
You know, sorry,
yeah, but I've been there
too. NFL guy.
Right.
You know,
there's
definitely other stuff that they're not telling us, but. I just thought it was funny the way everybody was reacting yesterday. Like,
What did you think it was like? There's going to be this nice story, you know, that he was like trying to get revenge for someone who, you know, did something to a... No, that's not how these things generally work. It's usually over something stupid, and it was something stupid. Mm-hmm. And he killed somebody over it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Sprinkle those in occasionally.
Let's go to Melvin in Tennessee.
He ain't
hey,
ever
Melvin.
Out of jail.
Hey,
oh, look at Big Ball Paul.
How you doing, Melvin?
He's not. It's like Remy. Well, Remy's definitely there.
My quick point that I got to make is just talking about this OTA as we can start about Amendola, because he's the one I think I've seen what Gronk can do with that with his injuries. I know they're all big ifs, but I've seen Edelman be productive. But I still know nothing about, really. Amendola. I haven't seen a lot from him, so.
Actually, you do. You know everything you need to know about him. He did last year what he's done throughout his career. That's what he does.
But I mean, at least I've seen more from the other ones than I've seen from him. Is what I'm saying. I've seen Edelman be seemingly productive. I've seen Gronkowski. Even with the Rams, he hasn't been productive. Came in, haven't been productive. But the thing is, we gave him $30 million, so. I just want to see, really, he's going to be the one even skating on thin ice more than the other ones, because I think that, it's no point in keeping him around, but if he's not going to be, you know, sitting around, collecting money.
But if he were to stay healthy for 16 games and play, he'd put up Edelman numbers from last year, based on what he's, you know,
yep.
that's what he would be. He'd just be another slot guy like that, I think.
Probably, yeah. Probably. To Paul's point, anybody can do it.
You know,
partly to Paul's point.
I think our offense can be really good.
I think he could.
You know, Gronkowski can be one. Amendola still can be two. I don't know. He's supposed to be this good. This guy from Rams. I haven't seen nothing but, you know, him getting hurt. But, you know, three of them. I think all that, if they all play, you know, the offense can be really good. I really feel like. But he's the one that I've seen. Well, I really haven't seen a lot from him.
Yeah.
Other than the injuries.
Yeah.
So, That's my concern with me, because I think that he's the key. I'm looking. I've seen Gronkowski's issues. I've seen Edelman. I want this guy to be productive, because it takes $30 million.
It is kind of amazing how fans and, you know, analysts have kind of not even considered Amendola. You know, when you look at what the Patriots invested in him and who he was replaced and all that, there really should be more focus on what Amendola should be doing this coming year.
But see, that's not fair to him. He did last year what he's done his entire career. He has been Danny Amendola.
No, but regardless
you
of what's fair,
I wrote that
regardless of
that he exceeded what he's really done for most of his career.
What should be the expectations based on what the Patriots invested in him?
Yeah, but that's not his
fault.
That's
not what
I'm not
saying. He's playing to
his
skills, his resume, his history, everything.
Do you think that he can lift the offense to a higher level?
If he's the key, we suck.
I think that the Patriots thought that he could, or at least keep that level that Welker had.
But my point is that somebody among those guys is going to do what Edelman did last year. Does that lift your offense to a higher level?
Oh, I think it does. I don't think it does.
I think Gronkowski being healthy does.
It maintains.
I don't have a problem.
Was it humming in December when Gronk wasn't playing? I thought it was sputtering.
It's all about Gronk.
Well, I mean, Amendola had one kidney, one groin. I don't know what was going on. You know.
Edelman was fine. But Edelman, you said anybody can be Edelman. It'll keep it humming.
That's what Paul said.
That's what I said.
Well, whatever. Just because you have that role doesn't keep your offense humming. It didn't hum.
It doesn't.
It sputtered.
No. But I
it
think,
coughed. It fell.
Correct. You need Gronk.
Or Dobson.
I think Dobson could be a changer.
Or a different kind of receiver.
Else. Yes.
But
that's the point that I'm trying to make is I don't think Amendola, staying healthy and being more productive than he was last year, lifts your offense to a much higher plane than it was on.
If Amendola is the key,
if Gronk is not,
as he said, if he's the key, then I have no faith the offense is going to be all that good.
Oh, I don't think he's the key.
Well,
Gronk
I'm just using the caller's words.
Gronk is the key. Gronk is the key.
Right.
No, obviously.
If you have Gronk, you have a very high scoring offense like you did for those 6 or 7 weeks last year. That's when you made your hay. I have no doubt they're going to be a top 5 scoring offense. They always are. Man, and unless Brady. You know, falls off the map, which I don't expect him to do, you're going to be a top 5 scoring offense.
Were they a top 5 scoring offense when they were winning Super Bowls?
I don't know what they ranked.
I don't think they were.
I don't know what they ranked
probably
all
not.
Those times.
Probably not.
I don't think they were.
But you're also talking about a whole entirely different game of football.
Yeah, right. They didn't need to be back then.
It was 10 years ago. You didn't need the offense then.
It was a different game.
Yeah.
Let me tell you one more quick thing, then I'll get off. But I remember last year, Andy, when you were making that point, I said it's going to be a key. I just wanted him to be a legitimate threat, like just a number two guy. I think that you are responsible for, unfortunately, like how you were paid. You know how we put a lot of blame on Tom Brady because we pay him a lot of money. We put the, and when you, unfortunately, I feel like if you, we pay you $30 million, I have $30 million type of expectations. And when you don't meet those expectations, I'm ready to get rid of you.
That's all fair. But my point is, just because you pay him like a $30 million player doesn't make him a $30 million player.
Right.
He can't lift his skills and his capabilities just because he was paid as such.
No, but that's different than what the team thought he could do.
Right.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, okay. And that's fine. And that's New England's fault. If we paid him $30 million for that, we should have kept Welker. And I'm the only one that's trying to say that. I feel like I was the first one ready.
I hear you, Melvin, but at the time, they didn't know. If they knew Welker would sign for that, they would have re-signed Welker. I don't want to revisit that whole thing.
Made projections for Amendola. They projected off what they thought he could be, but he maintained what he had been, essentially.
That's true.
And that's the problem you get into. Yeah. Is paying forward, you know, assuming the guy's going to take, and, you know, we throw it around the year four jump, the year five jump. Well, they were expecting a Tom Brady-led year, whatever it was, five jump for him, and they didn't get it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see. Kevin's not ready. Food's here, but, okay, we're ready to take a break. We've got Maurice holding on, Chris with a TIAN. We'll get to you right after this break.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company. One that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy. One whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country. One that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG. the power to change life.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. People often ask us, where do you get your tickets? Well, the fact is we have a full buying department that every day receives hundreds of offers from ticket sellers. We personally select only the best tickets to provide you the best value and provide you with legitimate tickets, all with our industry-leading 200% guarantee. At Ace Ticket, we own the tickets we sell, so we only sell tickets we would sit in ourselves. For over 30 years, Ace has been Boston's own ticket agency. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
We all know that things can get a little out of hand at PFW in Progress when someone's missing from the show. And last week, Andy was on vacation. So, Andy, we thought we'd give you a little sample of what you missed.
Josh says, no Andy today. That's sweet.
Josh hates Andy. I love it.
Boy, the studio just got really crowded. There's a lot going on here.
It's still less crowded, though, than when Andy's here with his big head.
Well, there's more,
that's true.
There's
more breathing room, anyway.
That's true.
Eric,
I thought it was a
Eric
good
looked at me like a serial killer. Just
well, that's what he does. Although a little bit less often now that Andy's on vacation.
Now, when you were watching Otto Graham, how clutch was he?
You know, I figured to myself, I can say that I don't know anything about Otto Graham safely because Andy's not here, and the sophomoric, you know, fall back
but
crutch
Fred
of the show
is
here isn't
Paul.
There. But I was wrong yet again.
That's nice to, you know, actually meet the fans. Nick came all the way from Hawaii.
Yep.
Kevin came all the way up from Connecticut with his whole family.
It's a good thing Andy wasn't here, though, because it is nice to meet and greet some of the fans once in a while. But if Andy was here, things could get ugly.
Yeah.
You know, people might come. We might have higher security measures and stuff. But, you know, I mean, we hate him and all, but he's our Andy. We don't want anybody to pick him off.
Anybody else thinking of taking a vacation?
What, are you kidding me?
Now, back to PFW in Progress with Andy Hart.
People won't like this show.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Lunch is delicious and brought to us by Steve from Texas, Killeen, Texas, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks so much, Steve. Boy, that tasted awfully good today. I don't know why.
What did you get?
I got a turkey club, but every once in a while when you eat, you know, because of whatever state your body's in, the food just tastes a little bit better. Today was one of those days. I had my annual physical this morning.
Oh, and?
So, well, doctor,
okay.
All right. He asked me to bend over and for my number, so I don't know what that means.
I knew there was a terrible,
yeah,
terrible joke coming,
of course.
And he gave it to me. Apparently, he gave it to Fred, too. Seriously, what did he say?
I'm looking good.
What, is he blind?
Honestly, I know you laugh, and I know I need to lose weight, but I haven't gained a pound since last year.
Well, what about your other stuff?
I used to take the blood pressure and cholesterol, but I don't have to anymore. I take those fish eggs, and it's you know, blood pressure's good. You know, now I had the blood test this morning, so we have to wait for those results about the cholesterol, but blood pressure was good. So like 120 over 78 or something like
that's
that.
That's ideal. Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
So, yeah. I highly recommend omega-3.
With you. I agree.
I take 3,000 milligrams every morning, and helps me in many ways.
Is that what's in one little pill?
No, it's about 1,000. It depends on the pill you take. I take 3 of them.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So.
And he didn't say you're fat.
No, it's always a long-standing thing. I need to lose weight. I know that. But I haven't gained any weight, which is good. You know? So.
You'd pop if you did.
No, he's just a nice guy.
And by the way, you just gave me that look. And now maybe it is always on my mind. You just said, believe me, it helps me in many ways.
In the bathroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the bathroom. Regulates. I never needed help any other of the ways you're thinking.
Well, I didn't know if, but you never know if you didn't need help. Maybe all of a sudden you took this and you're like, oh my God, it was orgasmic, literally. Like, you never know if it can be better. You only know what you know. Just asking.
No, it's fine.
So it regulates you?
It's a legitimate.
It's your my Metamucil?
Not just regulates, but I think lubricates.
So you're oiled up.
Yeah, things come through a little bit smoother. Yeah. Yeah.
fish oil bunghole. So
really enjoying this lunch today. Good talk.
All right, let's get to the Ace Ticket Hotline, and we have a ton of emails to get to as well. Maurice is in Charleston, South Carolina. Hey, Maurice.
Hey, guys, how are you doing?
Good.
Well, Paul, you specifically, I was the caller Tuesday that talked about Brandon LaFell having a good year with New England.
All right, so we got to read.
I remember. Do you have a retort for Eldridge? Eldridge says that you are incorrect. Do you have a retort? We'll get some caller crime going.
Yeah. I mean, he may think so, but I think I'm going to stick to my guns. Brandon LaFell may not be the fastest receiver, but as far as bargains, he was the best receiver on the market, plus bargain wise, because you know we're not going to spend a lot of money on receivers. So.
Well, now you're stepping back a little now, Maurice. You're kind of qualifying your praise of LaFell at this point.
Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns. He gets open a lot, and there are times where he drops the ball. He, like Paul said, he has a high drop rate.
I was just citing Pro Football Focus on that, by the way.
I have no idea. I'm sure it's true. Meaning that also means the guy is getting open a lot. He's just not completing the catch. So when he does play for us, he's going to get open a lot. So we're just going to have to hope he catches a good for his pass. I'm just going off the potential he can do for us. I mean, a change of scenery could be the better for us, you know?
All right.
I'm still sticking to my nine.
I'm with you, Maurice. I'm with you.
And also in the running game, this guy is 6'2", 227. He's going to open up a lot of blocking lanes on that side of the field as far as running because he's going to
when we go to the two tight end sets, he might have to be out there.
Well, as far as
that's what his coach says, right?
As a receiver, most of the time, but he's going to he's a pretty good run blocking receiver.
No, that's his coach, Ron Rivera, calls him a very good blocker, and actually says and that they used him a little bit as a tight end.
Yeah, and also too, we have a better coaching staff than the Carolina Panthers. That's why I'm so
without
high.
A doubt. We have a better head coach. I don't know about the rest of that.
Head coaching. I'm giving all the coaching staff credit, so we have a better coaching staff and a better game plan wise to put them in position to succeed. So, like I said, Eldridge.
Yeah, I would have taken James Jones, by the way, in terms of
they would have had $2 million more for him, but
not much.
All we can do is just wait and see. The guy is 24, 25 years old. I mean, he's not past his prime. He has a couple of years to get better. We just have to wait and see. And I'm going to stick to my guns. I think he's going to have a great year for us.
All right, Maurice, I'm with you. Maurice, sticking up for Brandon LaFell. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Christian, how you doing?
I'm doing excellent. Nothing like some good bowel talk during lunch.
Absolutely. And I know you were with me on the Godzilla movie, right?
Yeah, I was so disappointed. Yeah. Usually in a movie like that, you'd like to like the characters and have someone to cheer for, and the characters are just, I mean, the effects were great. There were some different views and stuff that I'd never seen before, but... No, it was terrible. It was a waste of money. It really was.
Yeah.
And now I owe my girl two success movies. One because she goes, if this is really bad, you owe me two.
Wow.
Oh, it'll be good. So I lost that bet. Whatever. Yeah, I'm used to that.
Double whammy.
I wanted to talk about Brady, and I wanted to talk about the organization since he's been here and the argument of whether or not they've given him enough to win over the years. And... you know, going all the way back to the Deion Branch contract and, you know, then loading up with Walker and Moss and, you know, extending Moss and not signing Walker. But in between that, drafting Hernandez and, you know, for the time and drafting Gronk. And my opinion is that I think they, while he hasn't had a number one guy since Moss, you know, just a stud at the position, if they'd hit on the Brandon Tates and the Taylor Prices of the world, and those guys had an effect of like Hernandez had an effect, then you may be looking at another ring. You may be looking at another ring if Gronk's healthy in 11.
Right.
Okay?
If Asante Samuel catches that ball, we'd have that other
ring. But let's just stick to Christian's point. If Watson had hit, if Graham had hit, if Chad Jackson had hit, you know, they had a lot of swings and misses that even though they weren't flat-out busts, they didn't hit like Gronkowski and Hernandez and, you know, Moss and Welker when they were brought aboard. So, they missed a lot on – it's not like they didn't try. They never invested a high pick on an offensive player.
But I've come to the conclusion, I think that when you have a guy like Tom Brady, your offense is going to be at a certain level, okay? It may not be 07 every year, but you're going to get a certain level of production because of Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe for the Patriots, they decided, you know what? It's better to invest in defense.
Yeah, the only problem is your defense sucked the whole time.
No, I know, but maybe they realized we really have to do better on defense, you know? And let Tom Brady take care of the offense.
Yeah, see, I don't think they generally, aside from 07, which I think they intentionally loaded up the offense and you know, were able to put together an offense. They wanted to improve it. I don't think they've gone either way all the time. Oh, we're going all defense this offseason. We need to, you know.
No, I agree.
They've tried to get better, and there may be a little more focus on one or the other, but not like at the cost of the other, or we're just putting all our eggs in this basket. I don't think they've ever done that. The problem is, they've hit on, you know, they took this guy on defense and they hit, but the guy they took on offense was a swing and a miss, or vice versa. You know, they hit on Gronkowski and Hernandez. Well, unfortunately, the Jermaine Cunningham and the whatever you drafted on defense sucked.
Rozai Dowling.
Yeah. Rozai Dowling, Jermaine Cunningham. It's not like they didn't invest in both, only one hit. They effed up on the other picks.
Yeah, Patrick Chung, Darius Butler. I'm
right.
List is endless.
You know, if and I know it's not a realistic expectation to say they're going to hit on all of them, but it's like they didn't align. You know, they could have, you know, for example, if Hernandez had been a defensive player and you hit on Gronkowski and Hernandez in the same draft, got a Pro Bowl caliber pass rusher instead of Hernandez, you would have been like, wow, that was a big draft. They loaded up on both sides, but it didn't work out that way. It never really overlapped with both.
The timing. If you had like Chandler Jones in the draft for Gronk or something like that, or you know, whatever.
Exactly. But it never really kind of panned out.
Yeah. That's all I had. Andy, great to have you back. Thank Christ. Don't go away anymore.
Thank you. Paul, that's two. That's two.
All right, Christian.
All right.
And he's not just saying that because, you know, my mom.
Dan in Virginia is on the line. Hey, Dan.
G'day, fellas.
G'day, Mike.
Glad you made it back safely, although it would have, of course, made a great story had you gone away to Disneyland and gotten eaten by a lion.
Yes, great story. What would have been a great story is, like, Fred mocking me, and then I go on, like, Aerosmith and die. You know, it falls off the track, and I crash and burn. That would be a great story. Like, I don't even want to do it. Peer pressure, he forces me into do it, and tragedy ensues.
It's not a great story.
It's a great
story.
It's
not a great story.
It's a great story. Not a happy story, but a great story.
Yeah, I got a few questions. I was up in the New England area for Memorial Day weekend, and I had been listening to the radio. Mutt and Christian Fourier and some other guy had a radio show, and they stated that the Pats wanted to get Brady somehow into the starting role as the quarterback at the beginning of the 2001 season. Now, I've heard this a couple of times, but it's always kind of ended up coming out as being not factual. Do you guys have any... can you confirm that one way or another that the Pats wanted to actually start Brady ahead of Bledsoe in some way?
I don't believe that to be factual.
No, I don't either.
No, I don't think that either. Yeah. Okay.
Now, based on they've been asked, and when I say they, I'm talking about not just Bill Belichick, but guys like Charlie Weiss as well. They've been asked point blank about that and have had every opportunity to sort of make themselves look better.
Right.
And haven't.
Right.
They've always said, a matter of fact, I asked Charlie Weiss, well, after probably like 03, when would they have made the move? You know, it was not looking good. It was 0-2 when Bledsoe, you know, it was 0-1. Bledsoe got hurt late in the second game. The offense was looking bad. They had just been 5-11. When would you have made the move? And he says, we may never have.
Right.
We may never have. Now, what happened that year unequivocally is Brady was so good in training camp that he passed Damon Heward, and he became the number two quarterback. Bill Belichick has stated that on the record. He said it at the time. We just like what he's done in training camp. He is our number two right now. Whether that means that at some point in that 2001 season, Bledsoe would have continued to be mediocre to bad, and Brady would have passed him, I don't know.
See,
they claim they may never have made the move.
I think they may have, and I think it would have been out of desperation, because I think they would have been, you know, 2-7.
Right.
And Belichick goes, I'm going to get fired.
Right.
So if I'm going to get fired, I might as well go down with, I think he might be better. I'm going to try it. And you can fire me either way.
Right.
You fire me because I benched the franchise. You can fire me because I suck. But I'm going down swinging. And
now,
I think
at 2-7, that's a pretty logical move for a coach.
Oh, yeah.
What if? You know, it was,
four,
you know, 4-3.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, 5-4.
I don't think it would have happened. I think it would have happened.
I don't think it would ever happen.
But I think they were going to lose a lot of games. I think they were going snowballing in the wrong direction.
I certainly don't think they were going 11-5.
Games like Matt Schaub lost games, like not the amount, but it was because of the quarterback they were.
Yeah. Well, that makes it easier.
See, now that's not what happened in 2000. They went 5-11, but you wouldn't say that they lost games because their quarterback wasn't good enough.
Right.
No. Yeah.
Now I think that they were going to win some games in 2001. I thought, and we all remember this, and maybe it was a little PFW in progress, like where we were talking about this team is better. I agree with Andy. There's no way they were going, if Bledsoe stayed in, there's no way they were going 11-5. There's no way they were going to the Super Bowl. None. I don't think they were a playoff team if Bledsoe stayed. But I don't think they were going 5-11 again. I think that team was better than the 2000 team. It was much more talented. They brought in all those free agents, many of which panned out. And I think Drew would have gotten better with a guy like David Patton that he didn't have the year before, just as an example. I don't want to make everybody yell at me. I don't think they were going 11-5, and I don't think they were going to the playoffs and going to win the Super Bowl. But it would have been interesting if they were just sort of mediocre and finished 8-8.
Yeah.
If that would have been enough for Belichick to say, you know what? I got to get this guy out of there. I got to put this guy in.
Yeah.
That would have been the hard part.
That's what I thought, and that's why we keep tuning into you guys rather than the Boston Sports Radio.
Exactly. Except when we're on Boston Sports Radio. Then you can tune in.
Except for the fact that Andy and I can't get a job on said Boston Sports Radio.
The second question I had was, there was a lot of discussion last week and earlier this week of the article with Brady and Pete King and Brady's potential involvement in football beyond his playing career. Given that Bill likes drafting or getting smart players, are there any other players that you think have a career ahead of them in coaching, whether in the recent past or currently on the roster?
Coaching prospects on the roster.
I think Vrabel, a lot of them.
Vrabel's already on there because
I mean, Vrabel was a layup because of the love of football. You know, I'm a little surprised he actually made the jump to the NFL. I thought he loved college football and that was sort of where he was going to be, the passion of that type of football and everything. I think there's a lot of them that are pretty smart players that I could see doing it. I mean, I to me, it's the lifestyle. It's far less about the ability to be a decent coach. Are they willing to commit 20 hours a day for the next, 8 months of their life every year and having already done it? I think it's not as much about smarts as just pure commitment and lifestyle choice.
Right. That's interesting, Andy. And my final question is that Troy Brown is releasing a book later this year, and I was curious if you guys were going to have him on the show at all to discuss that.
Yes.
Discuss his career.
Yes.
Okay.
Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Troy
Brown's coming out with a book?
I didn't know that.
I didn't either.
And I can't guarantee he'll be on the show either.
My guess is that he will.
He does
have him on the show.
He has a very good shandy. Is that how you say it?
Shandy. Was it a beer?
Yeah. The Narragansett Dell's Shandy. Narragansett.
Yeah.
Because he's part owner of Narragansett.
Oh, that's right.
And they came out with a Dell's Shandy, and it's, in my opinion, the best Shandy. Because I do not like the Shandies that my wife normally drinks. Is it Shock Top might be one?
Yeah, I don't like it. Too sweet.
This one I like. See, I don't even, to me, they taste like bad beer mixed with dishwater or something. Like,
yeah.
Bad beer.
The Dell's one is not bad. What did he?
Hold on, Dave. Go. What? Yeah. What? Anyway,
I find it interesting, Dave. That Vrabel and Vrabel and Brewski used to talk so much about coaching. We haven't really seen Brewski get involved.
He's got three kids.
But I do agree with Andy. I'm a little surprised. I thought of those guys as high school, even not even college. I was a little surprised to see Vrabel jump in at such a high level at Ohio State, and then. Yeah. You know what? 2 years, 3 years makes the jump to the NFL.
The one thing that I did kind of read when I was on vacation was the Peter King thing, and I did think when Brady said, "I don't think Peyton or I will be too far from the game when we're done," I thought that was very, very interesting.
Yeah, that was the quote that we talked about at length in one of our boring shows.
Now, I didn't assume, some people said, well, it was obvious he's building a castle in Brookline.
Yeah, see, I don't.
I didn't think he said he's staying with the Patriots. He said he's going to be involved in football. For all I know, he could. I mean, that includes Michigan. That includes anywhere he wants to be.
Fred has a great what if.
He could be a consultant helping people with There's sports management. You know,
sure. That to me that to me is staying around football.
I mean, he's already tied into that with the TB12 thing.
Everybody thinks Andy is
TB12 could morph from not just training but financial and agent representation, marketing.
People
blah,
have already
blah, blah.
Connected the dots. He's going to be Elway. Yeah, he's going to be the president.
I didn't really
of the
take it
as
that.
I'm not saying I'm not ruling it out. I just didn't see that quote that way.
I just thought it was interesting. As we've talked about, you know, he could do business, he could do politics. He seemed to make it pretty clear. It's going to be football related,
right?
But he didn't say I'm going to run the Patriots.
There are so many things.
Pop Warner,
there are so many things that are football related that don't involve being the president of an organization.
He could join this show.
Yeah.
Wow, that didn't.
Is
this thing on?
Dave, how you doing? Thanks for holding on.
He didn't even join the show the day he was over there and could have joined the show.
He was throwing his hands up in the air, saying, "What are you guys doing to me,
guys? I got something for you guys. I think you guys need to give Chandler Jones a little more love here. Okay."
No, he blocked me on Twitter.
You know, I think you guys beat him up a little bit, saying that he's not really the pass rusher that you thought he would have been. I mean, he did have 11 and a half sacks this year.
No.
We're beating up Chandler
Jones. I believe what I said, I can't speak for the others, is he was actually better at pass rushing immediately than I thought he would be. I thought he'd be more developmental. But I have not seen him dominate a game or dominate a stretch of games or dominate even series like I have seen other pass rushers dominate.
I've seen him get a holding call here, then hold the edge.
Then you've never watched Clay Matthews, Jason Taylor, J.J. Watt if you thought Chandler Jones dominated a game.
This is the second year in the league. Your first year, he missed one.
J.J. Watt was the defensive player of the year in his second year in the league, had the greatest season in the history of defensive ends.
And a lot of people think he was better the next year.
A lot of that goes to the fact that, you lost Will Fork, you lost Kelly.
Well, then he's not great. If everybody else makes him great, then he's not great.
You're making our point.
And I like Chandler Jones. Yeah, you're forcing me to kind of bash him, and I don't want to bash him. And I think he can be better in year three, and I think that he probably will be, and he might get a little more rotation, maybe won't get worn down, all these things. But I just haven't seen him play at that top, near the elite or very good level.
I don't remember bashing him. I don't remember taking a lot of... I think that he...
Well, if it's bashing to say he doesn't dominate a game.
I think he got better.
Nobody on this team dominates a game except for Gronk. I mean,
I think he got better in year two than he was in his rookie year.
Sure.
I think he was more consistent. I think, like in the first year, however, I thought he was a little bit quiet down the stretch.
Pipsqueak, mouse quiet.
And he needs to get, I think, a little bit more consistent. Now, if that qualifies as bashing, then I guess I'm bashing him. But I let's put it this way. I don't think Chandler Jones is high on the list of problems.
I would actually say that we've given him credit for being more of a pass rusher than we thought he might be coming out of college.
Yeah. I thought he was going to be a less of an impact pass rusher. I thought it would take a little while. And you can remember we talked about in that very initial camp, he's not bad. Yeah, he's got some moves.
And I'm not necessarily, this is like, you make fun of me all the time, Fred, when I talk about the numbers in terms of receptions, and I'm not necessarily saying, well, he had, 20 sacks or 10 sacks or whatever. I'm not looking for the number. I'm looking for an impact.
Right. And with,
I don't care if you catch 100 passes, but do you make a lot of plays, the difference between winning and losing games.
When it comes to me and Chandler Jones and the position he plays, that's one where I'm saying we're set at that position. He has the potential to be what we envision that position to be. May not be right now, but I'm not looking to upgrade that player in that position right now. There's so many other things.
Yeah, the old thing. If everybody did their job at the level of Chandler Jones, you'd be pretty good.
Right.
You're going to be pretty good on defense.
He's fine. I'm not worried about Chandler Jones.
Now, I want more.
Yeah,
I would like to see him elevate, but he's a 10-sack guy, in my opinion, not just a guy who got 10 sacks.
Right.
He is consistently, in the next 5 years, assuming he's here, you should expect him to average double-digit sacks every year. There may be a 15 here, there may be a 9 here, but he's a double-digit sack guy.
He's
better than Tully Bantakane.
But that's what I'm
talking
about.
They both had 11 sacks or whatever the number was.
I think he's much better than that, too.
He's more Andre Carter than he is Mark Anderson.
His season, I'd like to see, and you just like, the 15 or the 9. To me, there's a big difference there.
No, but there's a lot of great pass rushers who have just, a year where all of a sudden they have 9. They battled a little bit of an ankle injury for 3 weeks, but he is going to, in my opinion, average 10 sacks plus every year for the next
I think
years.
So too, but I want him to be.
Especially if his wife needs to get pregnant.
because then he will definitely have a run-out season, like Robert Mathis. If you're having a little issue and you try to get your wife pregnant, you got to take some stuff on the side. You can get 20 cents.
Wow. That's the kind of drama that you guys were looking for from the show. There you go.
All right, you telling me you bought that story?
God, no.
Okay.
God, no, but I don't... What do you think? He's the only guy in the league that's on this stuff?
No, he's the only guy in the league who tried to sell me on this whole cockamamie story of X, Y, and Z.
I thought it was pretty unique.
It was very creative and well done, no doubt.
Yeah. I think the female fan base had a lot of sympathy for
Manny Ramirez. I don't even bat an eye. Damn, I should have said that.
I don't even bat an eye.
Because that was the same drug Manny had, right? When he got tabbed with one of them. It was a female infertility for a drug.
It begins with a C, I think.
Clomidine or something?
Clomidin.
Not from
Chlamydian.
No, I thought that was the company on the wall.
No, I don't buy the excuse for a second. But you know me, I think that literally 100% of the league is on something illegal. So, I mean, that's where I come from.
All right, let's get into the email portion of the show brought to us by Pompous Tours, serving tourists for years.
Is this Eric's tour group?
No.
Oh.
No, it's a new client.
Because that would be Eric's tour, Pompous Tours.
Fred actually said on the last show that I should start my own tour company, so he's obviously doing something.
But you'd have to say it differently, right? Like Pompous Tours.
No. He pronounced it properly.
Pompous. Well, if you call it Pompous Tours, it's not very alluring.
I'm looking forward to
the
that
logo
trip.
Is somebody looking down their nose at you.
Will there be a lot of Instagramming?
When is this happening, by the way?
In 2 weeks.
No. It's going to be good.
Well, not less than that now, I guess, right? It's Thursday, so yeah, about 10 days.
Are you excited? Like, do you feel like get butterflies before you go on these trips?
Fred, I'm excited the day after I come back from my trips for the next trip.
Okay.
I'm always excited to get the hell out of here.
That's great stuff.
Now, are you going to...
What?
What did Nikki put it as? Clean the pipes in Europe? See if they still work?
See, I when you're in France, I would have done that. I don't know.
Where are you going, Prague?
Yeah, I've heard...
Where the hell's Prague?
The Czech Republic.
Oh, okay.
I've heard phenomenal things about
Czech... Isn't that close to what's going on over there?
It's right next door. Everywhere I'm going is right next door.
See, that wouldn't be a good story. If you go to a war zone and die, you're an idiot.
Go there and get a Czech mate.
You know...
Oh, that's not bad!
I've actually heard that the Czech women are stunning. Really? I'm not kidding. I've heard...
Do they have low standards?
Will there be a book?
I got to finish this one first. I'm getting there.
Now, this is going to be like a series, like globetrotting in just 10 days or something.
No, not necessarily.
The Adventures of Tintin.
I don't just want to write travel books either. I'd like to write maybe biographies or historical
books. Where else are you going? Just the Czech Republic?
No. Hungary. Budapest, Hungary.
Prague.
Budapest. Prague, Czech Republic, and Vienna, Austria.
Vienna?
Oh, Austria.
That's going to be good. All right, let's get to the emails.
That's going
to
be... All right, let's read some emails.
I'm going to get a cookie for Paul. In Vienna. The Vienna finger.
Yeah, Vienna finger.
Will it be the middle one?
No.
Andy doesn't know what a Vienna finger
is. I also have to get... There's a...
I thought it was vanilla.
There's a guy who lives... One of our listeners from Hungary lives in Budapest. And there's a
shop. Does everybody say it like that? Budapest?
That's how it's pronounced. And he is clearly continuing to say it until someone says, why are you pronouncing it like that?
I'm not doing that at all.
That's the Eric way.
Because that is the way it's Budapest.
I'll happily edify you if you like, but I'm just saying it properly.
Like,
that's all.
That people that say Edinburgh, Scotland, you know, it's really Edinburgh, but some people call it Edinburgh.
Who are you pointing to?
But everybody else calls it Edinburgh.
He's like Razor Ramon over here.
But there's a there's a guy who called in or wrote in and said that he tweeted out a picture of this Drew Bledsoe bobblehead or clay figure or whatever that's in this store in the Buda Castle in Budapest. There's no other NFL or football-related items in there, but there's a Drew Bledsoe thing in there.
That and Robert Kraft Super Bowl.
Well, they thought it was Frankenstein.
That's in Moscow.
Got to go a little further.
Yeah.
They thought it was the Frankenstein monster. That's why it's...
You should have stopped at checkmate. That was good.
That was good.
All right, Conrad in L.A. Hey, guys, and Eric. Avid listener for a few years, but only write in occasionally. I listen to the podcast, so it's hard for me to write in live. So my responses will be to a previous episode. First,
should I leave?
Little listener-on-listener crime. Eldridge, not sure on the spelling, from Carolina, called and was talking about how small ball doesn't work in the playoffs and his typical deep threat complaints and used the recent loss to the Giants as an example. Fred replied with a big part of that was Gronk being injured. The caller ignored that. Really? Where's Andy or Angry Paul when you need them? Gronk was at best 25% of himself that game. Having him in there would have been a totally different scenario. This guy is delusional with his lust for deep threats. Secondly, for Paul, are you really putting a time evaluation on the second round QB pick? He has to play in 2 years or it's a waste, according to you?
Oh, no.
Correct?
Absolutely not.
No, it's no. A waste if he never pans out.
Right.
He does put up...
the second part of that email is what I agree with. If he becomes Brady's successor and he's good, then it was worth the pick.
I'm on the fence on Jimmy, but if he takes 4 years to play, but when he does put up Peyton Brady prime numbers consistently with playoff success, he's definitely not a wasted pick.
Absolutely.
So.
I'm absolutely with you.
You can't just wait till Brady retires and suddenly expect a great quarterback prospect to appear in the draft like you want them to. Forcing a pick because of a need rarely works in the quarterback position. See the teams with bad QBs as an example. Like I said, I'm neither pro-Jimmy or anti-Jimmy, but we need to wait and see how he develops as a player across his career, not put some arbitrary two-year deadline on
him. Yeah, that's not an accurate reflection of my feelings on that. Fred is the one who said that Brady will be declining to the point in 2 years that you'll be looking to replace him, and that's when Garoppolo will take over. Of course, that was 2 days after he said there has been no noticeable decline at all in Brady's game. So,
well, he
depending on
that.
What mood you get Fred in, that's what he thinks.
But he projects those quickly because this is the Manning year, right?
Right.
So the 1 year after that, Brady.
Oh, we should get you up to date, Andy, because we don't have a big whiteboard in here to put
here's
up.
Here's where I get misinterpreted again.
No.
Misquoted.
And you tell me if I'm wrong. We have Fred and I have a bet on Peyton Manning.
Oh, yeah, several, right?
Couple.
Number
couple,
one, the Broncos won't win more than 10 games.
Okay.
Free lunch for that. Number two.
Now, is this a group thing or anything?
No, just me and Paul.
Number two, he'll throw more than 15 interceptions. Right?
Yeah, that was the
He also said, but wouldn't agree to bet, that he won't throw for 4,500 yards, but he wouldn't agree to bet me on that one because he thinks they're going to be playing from behind all the time. He's going to put up plastic yards.
Andy's not.
No, I think
how
you
would
have,
you come down on either one of those?
You
bets?
Have no chance to win the 10 game thing.
Really?
He's going to win more than 10 games.
Okay.
The interception thing, maybe, just because he's got some new receivers, some young receivers, he floats a cup. You know, interceptions to me, they can come in bunches and something happens. And those remember last year?
Yeah.
He had those flutter balls in, was that, at Atlanta? When everybody was criticizing
him? Early in the
two
season.
Two years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you can have stretches and all, because every year you're going to have basically 10 or 12 interceptions.
Well, this is how it all started.
So if you get a bad stretch, it's not that hard to jump to 15.
It all started off, he was going to have a big drop off.
But when was the last time Peyton Manning didn't win, like, a lot of games?
A big drop off. So I said, well, what does that mean? I mean, he threw 50 whatever touchdowns last year. So if he throws like 15 less, is that a big drop off? Yeah. He says, sorry. Well, I'm not going to bet you on that. Like, he wanted to bet me that he wouldn't throw more than 42 touchdowns. I'm like,
oh, no.
That's happened like 5 times in the history of football. I'm not going
to
bet that.
Yeah, what Brady?
That's a guarantee.
35, 36.
Yeah. I'm not going to guarantee that he's going to do something that's been done like 5 times. You know, so we worked on finding some other things. 4,500 yards was our first one. Then Fred talked himself out of that one. Then he went to 10 games, and I couldn't get on that one fast enough.
Exactly. I mean, you can't win that, Fred.
The interception.
Now, was
one,
there an injury?
The
thing?
Interception one, I think, could be either way.
Yeah, I think Paul will probably win the interception one, too, but you have a chance at that. You have no chance of winning.
We'll see.
No chance.
Remember who they're playing.
Can I get in on it?
They're playing
can I get in
NFC
on it?
West.
Can I get in on
can
it?
Can I have an asterisk of just if, like...
No, I'm not doing anything with you.
No, I just want to know if he doesn't play. If he gets, like, light switch lowered in week one and doesn't play, do I owe you two lunches?
Absolutely.
Well, actually, I'd only owe you one.
That's part of the drop-off.
Actually, it'd be a double. Right. It would be... We'd split because they might not win 10 games, but if he doesn't play, he can't throw 15 picks.
Right. That's true. Chris from Hamilton, Ontario. The shows
I'll
have been...
my ass off when Brock Osweiler leads to 11 wins and I win both.
Because you were so adamant, by the way. He's going to be equally as adamant.
Right.
If Manning gets hurt, he wins the interception.
Absolutely.
One. Okay.
Yep.
So he's right. He should.
It
he should
cancels out.
Stub it down your throat.
No. With my luck... Manning will get hurt in like week 12 and have thrown 16 picks and they'll only win 10 games.
Right.
Chris in Hamilton, Ontario. The shows have been nice without Andy, but they were missing a French, I don't know, je ne sais quoi.
I've been told I have that.
Captain Interruption really brings the fire back to the
Captain
show.
Captain Interruption, very, very well done.
I kind of missed over the last week in a bit. Yes, sometimes he's over the top and makes Eric butthurt in the end, but it's a hell of an entertaining.
Also true.
and for the most part, informative.
Oh, no.
By the way, hypothetically, can you get any two players of different positions on the same team you want in a trade, but you have to give up Gronk and a first-round pick? Which team and who would they be?
Oh.
Boy, and I have to be like Andrew Luck and somebody from the Colts, right? I would think.
Any two players from the same team?
From the same team.
Same team.
Oh.
Because I
missed that part of it.
I did too. Because I was like, J.J. Watt, and then who do I want?
Yeah. Who does Detroit have on defense?
Sue
and...
And Johnson?
That's not a terrible one.
That's a good one.
A lot of people think Sue could be had.
I got to tell you, I think...
Right now?
There's a chance J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney might be the answer in a year or two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or, what is it, Jadeveon?
That's true.
Jadeveon.
Who else would I want?
Let's see. Marcel writes in, Big Head is such a D-bag. What the hell is Annie doing in the studio? Can't his fat head even fit in there? So on to serious things. Who starts at every O-line position in week one? Have a good day. Chew your food, Big Head, so you don't choke. Marcel in Sweden. Who
your mother
you
chokes on you-know-what every night.
Oh, boy. Okay.
How about Fitzgerald?
What a steak. She could eat a steak.
Peterson.
In a two.
Is Brian Stork going to start at
center? How
about
center, that? Or is it Fitzgerald and Peterson? Patrick Peterson.
I mean, a little less need with Revis, but...
How long does Fitzgerald have left?
That's I'm giving also up Fitzgerald Gronk getting a little older.
You know?
A little age.
How much does Gronk have left?
A lot.
Yeah.
You think?
No!
Yeah.
That's not a terrible one. It's hard to...
The problem is Houston doesn't have that other guy
right
to go with Watt.
Well, none
I'm
of
not,
them do.
I'm not willing to do the Clowney thing without seeing him play.
Oh, no. Although, I mean, it's really no different because you got Watt for Gronk and you used a first-round pick on Clowney. Would you have used your first-round pick on Clowney? Yes, you would have. So, right?
Why are you speaking for me?
No, doesn't that make sense, though?
Yes, but...
Can I break it down logically for you?
But if I'm going to pick any two players from the same team around the league, I want to have more of a sure thing.
Yeah, but I think we're...
Than a draft pick.
Would you do it for Geno Atkins and A.J. Green?
I mean...
No.
Geno Atkins and A.J. Green.
He's pulling the Glenn Ordway here. He needs a little time.
I would absolutely do it for Geno Atkins. I'm not sure I love A.J. Green.
I don't.
I like A.J. Green. I think he's a very good receiver.
I cut ties with him when he sulked before he caught that touchdown that sent it into overtime.
That was the prototypical one moment in time that Andy happens to see.
And he sulked. He
draws all of his conclusions from.
He gave up, and I don't like people that give up.
He also had a terrible drop in that playoff
game.
He's
also too skinny.
Mike in Connecticut writes in, first I want to comment on the show itself. I disagree with my vocal fellow listeners that the show was boring without Andy. I love you, Andy, but PFW shouldn't pride itself on being a bunch of shouting monkeys flinging verbal poo at each other. If I wanted pointless arguments, I'd listen to 98.5. Don't appeal to the lowest denominator.
Like everybody else.
Anyway, before I...
We don't want to be like that.
We wouldn't want ratings.
We don't want people to actually, you know, listen.
We don't
want to
make like 400K a year.
More people listen to this show. Anyway, before I comment on Brady, I wanted to also make a plea for more football education from you guys.
Edumacation.
I feel like many listeners have a poor grasp of basic things like simple coverage schemes, 3-4-4-3, over-under, etc. Weaving into your commentary would really help Patriots fan understand the game. Football is a tragically underestimated sport in terms of intelligence and strategy. And regarding picking Garoppolo, I think drafting a quarterback is such an extreme crapshoot that there's no point at all wasting time planning for the position post-Brady. Chances are, if we pick two quarterbacks every draft for the next 4 years, they'd all suck. And if they didn't, what's the chance they'd be difference makers? I feel like the best we can hope for is a Joe Flacco-tier quarterback, and if that's what we're wasting picks for, I'd rather invest in a defensive player and see if we can pick off a vet QB in free agency. That's kind of what Paul said, right?
Paul needs to break it down to see if that's what
he says. Well, I mean, I agree with half of that. I agree with the last part of that, and we've talked about it a lot, and we don't have to go back to that argument because you guys disagree with me. But I wanted to get back to the Joe Flacco part of that. Can we all agree that the next guy is probably not going to be as good as Brady and Manning?
Correct.
All right? You know, Aaron Rodgers doesn't come along every day.
Correct.
To replace a guy who was great and actually be greater is not necessarily the
norm. Luck has the potential.
Okay?
Yep.
Joe Flacco is a guy. If Jimmy Garoppolo turns out to be Joe Flacco, we're going to be upset with that?
Right.
If you can win a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, That would make me 1,000% wrong today. My feelings on the second round pick would be 1,000% wrong if he turns out to be Joe Flacco. And I know that I'm more of a Flacco fan than probably all three of you, but I mean, let's face it.
No.
You can win with Joe Flacco. He's already done it.
He's a winning quarterback in the NFL.
And not only is he a winning quarterback, he was phenomenal when they won.
He was the reason why they won.
He sucked last year.
Yes.
He was phenomenal when they won.
He's a little Eli Manning. Like, when they win, it's because of him. And when they lose,
it's because of him. Yeah. That's a very, very good one, Paul.
Thanks.
But like Matt Ryan hasn't
won. I tried not to bore you.
Matt Ryan has not won. Would you take Matt Ryan as the successor? Jimmy Garoppolo.
I've thought Joe Flacco was better than Matt Ryan.
But
even though Matt Ryan's the flashier numbers, the more consistent, and doesn't throw as many picks, but I don't think he's a playmaker, and I don't think he's a quote winner.
He's not a
but
not when it counts.
But I'd take either.
Oh, I absolutely would.
I'm expecting Christian Ponder.
Yes, I would absolutely take either one of them.
You know what I was thinking about? The very funny is the word successor, because success is in there. Like, you're assuming, like, successor. Like, you don't call him.
It has a completely different meaning.
I know, but it's funny that that word is in there where most of them are not. Most of them are failurers instead of successors.
failurers. VIP Strippers gives us the difference between an opera and a musical. Anyone interested?
Nice! I am.
A musical is a play where both spoken dialogue and singing songs are used to further the story. Traditionally, most musicals are comical, though there are many that have serious themes. Musicals are a much newer idea than opera.
Les Miserables was a laugh a minute.
And are generally much more lighthearted and humorous. Opera, however, uses nothing but singing to convey the story. The script is flowing and poetic, just as lyrics to a song. When listening to opera, there will be full company songs, but any dialogue that would normally be spoken by one character at a time is sung. Today, there are many operas written in English, and many great operas have been translated to English to widen the prospective audiences. However, the beginnings of the opera date back to the ancient Greeks, and the beginnings of modern opera happened in Europe.
They started everything, huh?
Before English was prominent. So most great operas are traditionally in foreign languages. Operas are usually very dramatic, and while offering bits of comic relief, have rather serious storylines. And the sources, I'm a theater geek and drama major in college. So VIP is sourcing himself.
Would not have guessed that ever. Not in a million years.
Well, I wasn't listening. What?
VIP Strippers was a theater geek.
Geek
and opera, drama major?
Drama major.
Well, you know, porn is theater.
True. But still.
Right?
Let's see. Steve.
What do we have here today, by the way?
What do we have here?
On the big board out there. It said, like, Street Workers Union.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Isn't that prostitutes?
Like street walkers.
Oh. I think of people who work the streets as prostitutes.
Was it walkers?
No, but I mean, like, when you think of a it's like, you know, night walkers, street, you know, street walkers.
She works the streets. I think of her as a street worker.
Yeah, listen.
So I was like, should I go up to the club? What do we got? Eric.
God only knows what goes on in your giant head.
My son is definitely my son. We were waiting for the restroom. Why do they call it a restroom? You don't go in there to rest. I don't know. And then he said, why do they call it a bathroom? You don't go in there to bathe either.
Sounds more like George Carlin.
Why, he didn't drop an F-bomb.
I know
who George Carlin is. He's Thomas the Train.
And then his son used all the seven words you can't say on there.
Right. Steve in Killeen, Texas, who was nice enough to buy us lunch today.
He knows George Carlin.
Thank you, Steve.
Because he's Thomas the Train.
I'm just kidding. I know who George Carlin is.
Thank you, Steve. Thomas?
Well, oh, yeah. Not anymore.
No, but dude's dead.
I know.
Dead,
I mean,
you know.
He was the. He
Thank
was
you,
the narrator.
Steve. Well, he was like the narrator.
Oh, the narrator.
Or
oh, okay.
He did the.
He wasn't the voice of the train, though.
I don't know if Thomas had a voice. Did he?
That's like Stephen Wright said. Why do you
drive on a parkway and park in a driveway?
I don't think engine. Doesn't he have?
I don't believe
voice?
He has a voice. It's just the narrator. And Thomas said, and it's George Carlin's voice.
Well, I thought there was an animated series on PBS with George Carlin.
But it's narrated.
Oh, they don't have
he
any
He says
dialogue?
What everybody yeah. says.
He oh, reads the book, essentially.
Right.
Okay.
So it's his voice the whole time. I don't know if every character is George Carlin.
Oh, okay.
Well,
he's narrating.
Dead, you know.
We get it. We know he's dead.
Although maybe they do like that Michael Jackson thing where they just keep using his voice.
It's a good song, by the way.
I didn't really know.
You haven't heard it?
No, I saw it on the show, but that's the only time I've heard it.
I didn't see the show. Fred's just completely disgusted with us at this point.
Did anybody see the Don Rickles special last night on Spike?
I don't know.
It was funny.
He'd call anybody a hockey puck?
It was funny.
Huh. Well, he's 88, but...
yeah, but that was his thing. He always called you a hockey puck.
It was good. It was real funny.
Real funny.
Steve in Killeen, Texas, men of PFW in the epicenter of arguments, Andy. I would like to get Andy's take on the acquisition of the small Troy Brown-like wideouts. Fully understanding what was available at the time, my desire would have been to get larger targets for Brady. What do you say, Andy? And I'm glad that Kevin was kind enough to not screw you guys in the lunch deal. Keep up the great work, everyone.
Well, thank you, Steve.
Yes.
Terrific lunch.
Yes, it was very good. Although the cookies, we're going down a road here with the cookies. They're getting closer and closer to like Chips Ahoy. Now they're coming in bags. They're not hot out the oven.
They're not hot out the oven.
They're not. What was the question?
What do you think
small
about
wideouts.
The small wideouts?
They can be productive. I don't get the question.
I think he was looking.
They should have gotten bigger.
The guys that they brought in, my guess is that he's talking about some undrafted free agents, which I'm not really overly versed on the undrafted free agents. I guess the wide receivers are smaller. He would have thought that they're going to bring in some guys, maybe.
Sure.
Bring in some bigger guys.
I would prefer to have bigger receivers. I think there is a hole in their depth chart for bigger receivers, but, you know, they're not always easy to find. And generally, bigger receivers suck, you know, in general.
I look at that. Kind of like the way Pete Carroll talked to us at the combine.
Yeah.
When you and I were there and
he's big, can't catch.
It was about corners and cover guys. And, you know, is this the new thing? You got to get these 6'4" corners. And well, yeah, that's great if you can get them, but there aren't many guys that are that size that can run.
And that's even a step harder because they have to run backwards and have loose hips. Right. At least at receiver, you only have to run forward.
I don't think there are a lot of very big, very gifted wide receivers. There are some. Yeah. And obviously, you know, Eric's guys. Fitzgerald and Johnson are two of the best, but I don't think there are a lot of 6'4 guys that scare you.
It's tough.
And there's even fewer. I mean, those guys were top 10 picks. They go near the top of the draft because they're the one percenters of the genetics, or, you know, even worse, actually.
Right.
They're far
one
less
tenth
than
of
1%.
Yeah. Right. Now, they need some size on the outside. I think Dobson has got good size if he can make a leap this year and be healthy at
it's going to be hard to leap when he's got that shoot boot
but
dragging
him down.
But he's like
6'3"-ish, right? Aaron Dobson?
Sounds a little giving to
six,
me.
6'2"? 6'3"?
Yeah, more 6'2". Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that he has enough size to be a threat on the outside if he pans out.
Oh, yeah. I think so.
You know, I don't think he's another Smurf.
No. No, he's not a Smurf, and he plays big.
Akil writes
in. And he jutted his jar out after he said that.
Akil
writes
that new
condom
in.
That's coming out?
A what?
He's unbelievable. It's the only thing that he
thinks
about.
It's a new stick-on condom that just covers the tip.
Just the tip.
That's the first thing I thought of when I saw the headline. Just the tip.
That doesn't seem like it would be the safest thing.
No.
You know, if I were in college, that's not necessarily a route I would go.
Adhesive? Well, it sticks to the tip.
No, but I mean, it's not.
It better be adhesive or you're in trouble.
No, my point is it doesn't wrap around the helmet.
No. Well, no, it said it sticks to just the tip. Oh. Can you look it up, Kevin?
All right, Akil writes
he's very busy with the sunflower seeds.
It also would seem a little scary, right?
That's what I'm
that
saying.
It might just come
well,
off,
like, comes you know,
out.
It goes in on the tip, and then you can.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Oh, wait a minute. I lost something while I was in there.
All right.
I'm telling you, that would live a lot of sleepless nights in college for me. That's not the direction I'd be wanting.
Akil writes in from Brooklyn. I'm
like
a longtime listener, first-time emailer. Got to say, I love the show. It's done a great job making me feel connected to the Patriots, first when I was living in Texas and now in New York. Now, continuing on with the nonsense the show started with Paul, a while ago, you told a story about a friend of yours taking a crap in the middle of a kitchen floor at a party.
That is true.
Just wanted to let you know that a friend of mine did the same thing, except it was in the middle of a bathroom floor. Also, the party was at his home.
That's even worse.
He was that drunk.
What are you, 4 feet away, 3 feet away, 2 feet away?
Right in the middle of the kitchen.
I was in Ted, right?
New Year's Eve. Oh. Yes. Yes. New Year's Eve, I want to say 1988, 89.
Why? Just to be an a-hole?
Yeah. Yeah, the guy who did it? Yeah.
Oh,
did you beat the snot out of him?
It wasn't my house.
Rubbed his nose in it like a puppy.
Yeah. Like what? Yeah. I just don't understand why you would do that. Yeah. Whatever would possess you. What I'm going to do? I'm going to poop here.
I was at a party where a girl was so drunk she peed underneath the dining room table at my friend's house.
Oh, pee is different for me.
Stop the fight in this softball game.
Because
you got to pee sometimes. You got to go somewhere.
One more thing, says Akil. Fred, when it comes to Godzilla, I have to disagree. I thought it was great. I understand you being disappointed as a longtime fan, but this movie was an original story meant for people who'd never seen a Godzilla movie before. But before you give up hope, the studio has greenlit two more Godzilla movies to make it a trilogy, so maybe you'll enjoy those more.
Oh, so it is a trilogy.
I knew it had to be.
I won't be going to the theater to see it. I'll wait till it comes out on demand.
Why is it always a trilogy? I may have asked this before. I don't understand that.
Three's a good number.
Yeah, why?
Good number, yeah.
Because
a beginning,
then you can
middle,
have,
and end.
You can make the second one a cliffhanger and then wrap it up in the third.
How many? Yeah. How many?
But why
times
can you make the first
sequels?
One a cliffhanger and then make it a wrap it up in the second?
How many movies have had sequels that have only?
But why don't you make
four
and make more money?
What? Can you think
what's
of
that now?
Can you think of too many movies that have had sequels that stopped it too?
No, but that I actually understand. Okay, we're making money. Let's just keep going. But like these planned trilogies, why is it a planned trilogy?
Well, a lot of times you can film it sooner so like actors don't age. Like,
yeah, but you could do that with two movies and four movies.
No, I know.
Okay, so you're not answering why it's three.
Why three? I don't know. Three just seems to be a tripod.
Because the story arc is beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah, but I don't get that. You can arc it however you want to arc it. Like, some of these movies, didn't they take, was it one of the dorky book movies? I don't know, Harry Potter? Or one. Didn't they take
the last book they made into two movies?
So a trilogy became a four-ogy.
Because the book was like 900 pages.
Yeah, but
idiocy.
But they planned a trilogy and then broke it up, right? Isn't that?
No, there were seven books. They made eight movies.
There's eight Harry Potter movies?
Yes, because the last one was broken into two.
So they were going to have seven.
Well, there were seven books. They were going to do the movies based on all the
books.
But
see, that's a little different, too, because at least there were books. She wrote books. Mm. But, like, all of these movies seem to be planned trilogies. And then they rebooted. You know, Spider-Man, we did our first trilogy. Now we're going to reboot and have a second trilogy.
I can't stand the whole action.
Why don't we have four movies or two movies? I don't get the three. And like Fred said, I can see, well, if we only have two, we're leaving money on the table. Well, aren't you leaving money on the table with three? Some of them keep going, like American Pie. Or what? Remember, they made then it was like straight to DVD. Then it was like straight to this.
Yeah,
it turned into basically just reason to show boobies on TV.
But they had Reunion too, right?
Yeah,
American Reunion. But yeah, that's a little silly. But Fred just took the last five.
So, are you going to see the second one, or are you like off
you
the series?
I said I'll wait till it comes out on demand. I won't go to the theater.
Thanks for listening.
I learned it from watching him.
It's a good thing that we're exciting now. He just doesn't listen to anybody talk. We're not boring anymore, though, Eric.
Thank God we have his approbation.
No, they thank me.
Let's see. Dan writes in,
God,
I like Andy.
Zilla.
I, like Andy, would also be shocked if McCurdy doesn't get a $30 million contract, and I will not be happy about it. All of these contracts strike me as good little soldier contracts for average to decent players, and all it ultimately does is give the team an out when they pass on elite players. I hate this because of how it enables the wagon circlers who claim they can't fit prize free agents under the cap now that they've signed their guys. Which
signed Andy and Paul.
Which isn't even true. The Revis signing proves that. I love McCurdy, Mayo, and Wilfork, but if they honestly believe they need to pay McCurdy like Ed Reed in his prime or Mayo like Patrick Willis in order to keep them, then maybe they should have just moved on.
Okay. Are they disappointed in Gerard Mayo?
Did
they pay for something that they have not received, or are they happy with the contract and everything?
I think they're more than happy with him because they understand what his role is out there.
I think that they like to
tackle 7 yards downfield.
I think they like to, if they're going to give the money or more money, that if they're going to lose in the value of the contract, if they want it to be with a guy that they know at the very least is going to do all the other things that they want.
That was actually going to be my next question.
So
do they overvalue the everything other than
playing
and play? Yeah, seriously. Do they overvalue that?
But
do they pay more for hardworking, good teammate, responsible?
I almost feel, and this is an exaggeration, but I almost feel they would rather have Gerard Mayo making what he makes than Patrick Willis making what he makes because they know definitively that Gerard Mayo fits here. And he does what they want to do. And they might get that out of Patrick Willis, and they might not.
Well, see,
that's an exaggeration because Willis is such a great player.
I do place a premium on guy can fit. He works here. But I don't know. I think they overvalue that sometimes.
Well,
McCourty, I think, will be in the next example.
They've done that with a lot.
You know, Kyle Arrington, James Sanders.
How did he call it? The good little soldier contract? Right. The emailer? Yeah. I think that they've done that many times. And you can go with the high-end ones like Mayo and Wilfork, but there's also got, you know, smaller ones like Ty Warren.
Yep.
And Mike Vrabel and Jarvis Green and Tully Bantakane. Guys that I never would have given the amount of money that they gave
Tully's
to.
Tully's a perfect example.
You know, it's you know, Kyle Arrington right now. James Sanders would be another example. I like the fact that they re-sign their own guys, but I think that sometimes they overvalue the fact that they're their own guys and that they know that they can fit in here.
The James Sanders one is perfect for me because, you know, I loved him as much as anybody, and I loved him as much as anybody for the off-field, you know, for just being a good guy. He was my counterexample to Tim Tebow. He was, you know, just as good a guy. I wouldn't have paid him that. That's crazy. They also overvalue guys just because, well, he's a starting caliber safety, so I have to pay him what a starting caliber safety. No, you don't. You can let him go and replace him with a starting caliber safety. You don't have to just say the going rate for a starting caliber safety is X. You know, the going rate for a slot corner is Kyle. Well, is he good or is he just good enough?
Well,
pay the starting caliber to an actual starting caliber.
Yeah, but that bothers me too. Don't make him starting caliber just because he starts. Find a guy who's actually starting caliber.
And that bothers me too because how many times, and I'm not saying the Patriots are the ones that say this, but how many times do we hear after a guy signs, oh, they overpaid for him. They overpaid for him. Well, if all these guys are overpaid, why are we paying our guy market value?
Right.
You know, that's a little bit, to me, contradictory.
Total different topic, Fred, and I saw you actually retweeted this, and I don't know if you know any more about it. I saw Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal, their new Patriots beat writer, tweet out yesterday something to the effect of, interesting to see, you know, everybody quoting Rob Gronkowski and Robert Kraft, even though they weren't there or something.
I retweeted that, and not citing it.
Yeah, not citing it. Do you know who he was pointing fingers at?
I don't.
Probably the Globe.
Because
they were the only ones that weren't there.
Interesting. Because I was wondering, you know, do people steal from Jackie Britton? You know, she puts a story up, a video. Do they then just view that as, you know, it's the same as a press release? Patriots put that out, so I can just say, you know, use those quotes. No. She's doing the same exact job you are. She put together a package. She did an interview. So you should be citing Patriots Today on Patriots.com.
I mean, it's easier than ever to disseminate news, and it's also easier than ever to get it, and that's what these people do.
Yeah, right. I just don't understand what the big problem is. If you weren't there, for whatever reason, why you can't just say,
according to so-and-so.
You know,
Well, it's another old school.
Gronkowski evidently spoke today, according to the media there, this is what he said. Like, if you don't want to cite, you know, if you're the Providence Journal,
mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're the Globe and you don't want to cite the Herald, yeah. Okay.
But it's
so
old
just say,
school,
you know,
thought.
The media was there. I don't get it.
They still think, oh, well, this guy goes to the newsstand every morning and he buys a newspaper. And if I cite the other paper three times, he's just going to buy that paper. Mm. Guess what? He just goes online and reads all of them anyway. No, so he doesn't actually give a rat's ass whether you cite him or not.
My point is, even if you want to go with the old school thought, then don't cite the guy individually. Just say, according to the media that were there, according to reports.
Maybe they were lying to their bosses. Maybe their bosses thought they were there.
Maybe they were supposed to be there, right?
They were supposed to be there, and they don't want, according to media that was there, and the boss says, why weren't you the media that was there?
I haven't read my papers this morning. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see what the Globe had, if anything, in the paper.
Because I didn't check that. Brian in Essex, Vermont, about Nickel Creek, he says they're really, really good. It has two masterclass musicians in Chris Thiel, mandolin, and Sarah Watkins, violin. Chris Thiel won a MacArthur Genius Grant for his ability on the mandolin, and he's repurposed several Bach masterpieces for solo mandolin.
Oh, wow.
Nickel Creek was the first band he was in with Sarah and Sean Watkins, starting in 89 when Sarah was 8 or 9 years old.
Promoter of the band, like, starting with Sarah.
I'm telling you, they're on, you know.
Why aren't they more famous?
I think that's another example of our show. Yeah. I mean,
everybody knows something about everything.
A lot about everything.
Oh
man.
Andy knows a lot about flatulence.
Gas problem.
Let's see. Kevin writes in from Munich. No, I'm not wearing lederhosen. First of all, I want to thank you guys for the awesome job you
Better
do.
Than
you
being
keep
a
me
eunuch.
Going on a long day of work when I listen to your podcast. I wish you'd do three shows in the off season, but I guess every one of you have other things to do. So I got a question regarding the draft from 3 weeks ago. If we would have traded up to the number six spot in a trade for our first and third this in a first and next year, we would have had the chance for either Anthony Barr or Mike Evans. Who would you have taken?
Mike Evans.
Oh, yes. And if any one of you
I'm
is in Germany, I would invite you on a real beer or two in Munich. Not that bitter water you guys call beer over there.
Wow. And I appreciate the gesture, but I probably wouldn't like it.
Oh, you would like it.
I don't think I would.
Why?
I'm a beer
he probably wouldn't.
I'm a beer punani. What's that? I was going to say that, but I waited for it. I'm a beer pussy. I drink Miller Lite and Bud Light, and that's it, basically. And
I've tried other beers, though.
I try them. I don't like them.
Wow.
Oh, Stripper says the source was a theater geek who was some chick, not him.
Oh, that makes more sense.
So a theater geek you were banging.
Okay.
That makes more sense.
That's kind of disappointing, though.
Yeah, he's just the shallow, low life we thought he was.
Right. Yeah. And just to prove it, he was very quick to write back in to get that all cleared up.
That. I'm just kidding, strippers.
Good job, strippers.
I'm just kidding. We love you. You're a part of the show. You're the fabric of
PFW. We'll wrap it up with Devin from San Francisco. I was listening to your podcast on the way to work this morning, and I heard Todd mention that you help cure his cancer. I know that PFW is not FDA approved, but I want to prove that you do indeed help cure cancer. I happen to work for a pharmaceutical company that makes cancer drugs every day of the year. I can honestly say I would not be able to get through work each week without you guys. It's your humorous and insightful Patriots reporting that makes takes the stress out of the day. So in a roundabout way, you are an FDA-approved cancer therapy. Now just move to 5 days a week, and we can find a cure. Thank you, and way to go, boys. That's all I have, and I hope you are healthy and happy.
I'm glad we didn't get those T-shirts made yet, because now we can put PFW
again,
cures cancer.
Furthering proof that no matter what the topic is, we have somebody listening who is an expert. This person
so
works
how come we're not getting
for
paid
a pharmaceutical company
to do
with cancer drugs.
We're not paid five figures.
More importantly, why don't we ask this guy, is it really true they found the cure to cancer, but there's too much money in the treatment so they don't show everybody?
I don't know if that's true, but they could if they wanted to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's
Fred stuck his chin out there.
That's it for this.
I blame Obama.
Progress. Thanks for listening this week. We got the commissioner thing tonight with the moms.
Just anybody, it's NFL Network will be here for that, by the way, so you could probably see some of it if you're interested at all.
Yeah,
on NFL
and
Network.
Then Gronk has a Jackie or KSP will be at a Gronk clinic
this
weekend.
I don't think so.
We're not going to cover that?
No. Gronk,
we do have access tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
We
Friday,
have,
Friday night. Friday night.
Friday night will be the best buddies thing for
Brady.
Tom Brady and
KSP
will have you covered for that.
Okay.
And we'll have you covered on access to OTA, whatever that
correct
entails.
Friday.
Boom.
All right, we'll see you next Tuesday.
Once two strangers climbed old Rocky Top, looking for a moonshine still.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.